this week, we've learned that Uno is the most popular Overwatch workshop mode. What better way to cool down from a hectic battle than by skip, draw, forward, reverse, and Uno dominating your opponents? This is just one card in hand. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight with episode number 778 for this June the 2nd of 2019. We are back after a week off, celebrating what's going on in video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle here in studio, live at twitch.tv/VOG Network. Myself, Rob Roberts, and joining me as always, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Sup, bitches?
Hi, how are you? Welcome back.
I'm feeling sassy, Rob.
Yeah, are you relaxed and refreshed after a vacation? All right, let me come back to you in a minute, because I also have to introduce...
And then just two words.
Sure.
Con crud.
All right, yes, we'll talk about that too. Joining us, of course, you can see over there at Twitch TV, you can see to my right, but left on TV, because everything's backwards, Techmaster Loki.
We're in the mirror-verse, yes.
We are in the mirror-verse, is it? How are you doing?
I'm fine.
You did not have a vacation last week.
No, I ended up working all weekend for the most part.
No, but you did a I saw you were streaming.
I did.
During OLR's time. You were doing some DDR.
I did, yeah. I was just streaming because, you know, I get Twitch affiliate or something like that, but I haven't quite gotten there yet because I need to stream more days.
Sure.
And I just didn't feel like it this week because the garage is hot again.
Summer's coming.
So I have been, you know, streaming on and off, but I'll try to do a little bit more.
Well, now, she mentioned the downside to traveling is con crud, and I know I picked up sick. She picked up sick. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, but the scare I have right now is that, like, last week or something like that, we got a message that someone at the school has chicken pox.
Oh, yeah, I saw your tweet on this.
I haven't had chicken pox, and I'm not with your cool kids that are, you know, young and hip and everything like that, and have gotten, you know, their shots so they don't get chicken pox. I'm just rolling the dice. So,
wait, have you not been vaccinated?
I have not been I am an anti-vax chicken poxer, yeah.
Can't you fix that at this
I
point?
I could, but I hate shots, and I'm too lazy to go down there.
You really should think about it.
Yeah,
yeah,
I should.
Keep in mind, you could get shingles instead.
I understand that. My sister has had chickenpox 3 times. I've never caught it, so...
I wouldn't roll the dice. Just suck it up.
Fine.
And do it. Here's the thing. No, I used to hate shots, too. And then remember that year that I was really sick? I had the pancreatitis, gallbladder, all that stuff. I had my blood drawn like 500 times, so I got used to it. You just have to look the other way.
No, I get it.
And just not think about it.
I get it.
And a good phlebotomist, is that what they're called? A good phlebotomist will talk to you about something else and distract you and not even telling you when they're doing it.
Yeah, fine.
You can do it. Don't be a baby. It's fine.
Anyway. Just breathe.
Whatever.
Breathe in and then exhale when the needle goes in.
Yeah. Over in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, because we do tape live at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, except last week. So I hope you all had a good, three-day weekend, and, Memorial Day, was good for you guys. And looking in chat, SG100 Matt says, I think CVS does them cheap also.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's. I can go and get it done for free at the lab. I mean,
ActDef simply says, "Don't be that guy."
I won't be that guy. I will do it. It's just
good boy. Yeah. Here's a cookie. Maybe the kids can give you a cookie.
To answer SSJ100 Matt's question, will the DDR overheat in the summer in the garage? No, I don't think so. I don't think it gets. I mean, it does get really hot out there, but it was fine last summer, so I'd assume that it's fine still. But, you know, then again, my other arcade cabinet broke in the garage, so I don't know. It should be fine though, and it doesn't matter if it breaks. Then I'm just putting a new thing in there anyways, a PC to put Stepmania on there, so it's all good.
Let's talk a little bit about our weeks away. It is a video game show, and I know you didn't do a lot about video games, and I only partially did. So we'll just quickly recap our weekend off. Dark Sakura, how was your trip?
Oh, God. Okay, so.
Don't worry. We got E3 hype coming up. But
I know. I know.
Some people want to know the personal stuff, so let's indulge quickly.
All right, so I got in my car and zoomed on down 99.
Quickly.
Yes. Okay, so I went to DragCon, and I went there as a sister. and there were sister panels, and we got, well, the people on the panel got talent badges. So guess who took a talent badge to the green room the last day of the convention? That would be me. I got to meet Nina West.
Nice.
I got to meet the Boulay brothers.
These are all famous drag queens, people that don't know.
Yeah. And I got to meet...
like Loki.
Now, you may laugh at this, because I met Tempest DuJour in line to get a mimosa.
Okay, I
who
think
was
she's great.
Wearing
yeah.
a plastic necklace that said, fuck Trixie. Because she's like, oh, I like your necklace. What does it say? Mine says Chava, because that's my sister name, Chava Kiki.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, do you like mine? And it said, fuck Trixie. I was like, yeah.
They're friends, though, so it's...
Yeah,
it's
they took pictures together. Yeah. And, you know, Gia had, like, the most beautiful set, but I don't think I took a picture of it. But anyway, I had a great time. I met so many people. I met Ginger Minj. I met Raja, finally.
And did you plug Vogue Network with all them queens, them gamer queens?
Yes, I Good. Did mention to the gamer queens.
Good. Good job.
But I had a great time. And then on Monday, I went to San Diego to visit some other sisters who are friends of mine. And they took me up Highway 1 up the coast, up into Carlsbad and everything. It was pretty.
Beautiful.
And I went to Extraordinary Desserts, which is like my favorite dessert place in the universe. And then Tuesday, I did Solo Disney. Solo Disney.
We were talking about this a little bit before because I was kind of like, oh, I wonder if Disneyland would actually be fun by yourself. But then when you kind of started to make your case, I was like, yeah, you know what? Actually, when you get to do things at your own pace and you're not worried about anybody else's agenda and you just kind of get to do your own thing, I bet it would be a lot of fun. So
And you know what? It was fucking fun. Single rider lines.
Yeah. And you just missed the Star Wars thing though, right?
So I didn't care about Star Wars shit.
Yeah.
I'll go to that shit later.
Later, after the hysteria dies down. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, I finally did Incredicoaster. I did the Cars ride as many times as I want to. I did single rider on everything I could get away doing single rider on. You know, when my neck got stiff, I went on Indiana Jones to have it pop my neck, like you do. I did Haunted Mansion. I even did the Roger Rabbit thing. So, I mean, I went into Toontown. I actually found two quiet spots in the park. One of them is this little restaurant that's called like the Harbor Cafe or something. And it's right across from Haunted Mansion. And it's actually really quiet. You can find seating there and it overlooks a bit of the lagoon there. And no one will bother you. It's quiet. And lobster rolls. And then another little place is in Toontown. Right when you go in through the gates and then off to the left, there's like this little circular seating area. And really no one loud goes there. I think it's like... oh my God, my kids are fucking driving me nuts place, you know. And then the other fun thing is I got my picture taken with their Captain Marvel, who she's a little too skinny to be a good Captain Marvel, but she was very good.
Adequate.
Yes. I was wearing my Captain Marvel skater dress. So she asked me what powers I had, and I was like, I'm binary era. And she just grinned. So apparently she got it.
She's probably heard it all too.
Yeah. But, you know, and then I got a kid from I got a hug from a 2-year-old
girl.
Wait,
you took a kid at Disneyland?
No.
You got a kid. How much does a kid cost at Disneyland?
No.
What's
okay.
the mark about
I got jelly beans to keep my blood sugar up.
Okay.
Because you can actually, there's like a Jelly Belly selection thing over at the Winnie the Pooh thing. So I got that trucked back over to California Adventure. My feet were kind of dead by the end of the day. But there's these two little kids in line, and their mama was from Alabama originally and moved to Nevada. So we were just chatting in line, and I was giving her kids jelly beans because it was keeping them, you know, from climbing all over the poles and everything.
That's very nice of you to give other people's kids sugar.
Well, she was fine with it. I asked. But anyway, the little boy's like, will you ride with us? And I'm like, well, I'll be behind you. I forgot that the Monsters, Inc. thing is three cars deep. So I ended up in their car anyway, and I was like, okay, looks like I'm riding with y'all. And we got to the end, and the little boy's, okay, come with us now. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna go over to where the champagne is and get adult beverages. And
Auntie Jamie's got a date with mimosas.
Oh no, they have this like lavender lemonade champagne thing. That it's expensive because it's fucking Disney, but it was good. I also found out my Starbucks app works at Disneyland.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the little girl turns around and looks up at me with these big, cute little eyes and throws her arms around my legs. And I'm like, my heart's going to break. I normally don't like children, but this is the most adorable thing in the universe. And so I got down on my knees and I gave her a big hug after getting the okay from her mama, because I don't hug other people's kids without consent. And her mom's like, that is the cutest thing I've ever seen her do. And she's normally pretty shy. So, so little Zoe and little Luke, you are the cutest kids at Disneyland, and you win all the Disneys ever.
That's a nice story.
Yeah, so that made my day. And then I ran into our friend Bobby, who gave me a drive home from...
Not Bobby Blackwell.
No, not Bobby Blackwell.
Lady Bobby.
Lady Bobby.
Yeah.
Who gave me a ride so I didn't have to order a Lyft.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And took me by CVS so I could get something for the dang blister between my toes. Oh, no. I've got a gnarly blister between my toes, so... That was what I did.
Quickly, my week... I went to Chicago.
Oh, one last thing. Bravo Cheese Farm.
Okay. I went to Chicago. I go about once a year to see my friends out there. I'm pretty tight with some former podcasters and current podcasters that live out there. And, you know, I go out there about once a year to just hang out. And I had a good time. It timed it this year up with the big Ingress event that was the weekend. And there was a lot going on because I did a thing Friday night. I did this thing called Intel Ops, which was like, it was supposed to be like an escape room, but like out in the city. Mm-hmm. So it started off kind of neat, like all spy games. Like we got texted a message that said, meet this person at this diner at this location. It had a little thing and it said, say this phrase to him and he'll say it back to you or whatever. So we went over there and then the guy gave us a suitcase with a phone in it. And then we got another text message that said, use this phone to go hack this portal. We're like, okay. And then we got another text message. Now go use the phone to hack this portal. Okay. Now go hack this portal. Okay. I'll go hack this portal. So unfortunately it started off strong, but then it just kind of turned into wild goose chase. Like I felt like, I guess they, meanwhile, we heard other groups were like raiding hotel rooms and others. So I don't know. I think they still have some things to work out about making it interesting for everybody, but it started off really interesting. And then Saturday was the big anomaly event, and we lost by 4 points. And it's going to be a very interesting kind of controversial thing because the play box was a solid green, my team, and the blue team ended up winning because – and I'm not going to complain about the rules. I'm not going to be a bitter Betty because there was different games going on. Some of them were a little more invisible, like the media game and the hacking the portals game, and their strategy was to really push those games as much as they could, and they were successful in what they did. But I think it is going to kind of cause a discussion about – is that kind of what you want the Ingress anomaly to be? So it'll be interesting to see, like, moving forward kind of what that does. But I'm not, you know, they read the rules. They had a good strategy. Kudos to them. I'm not going to be a bitter Betty about it because I think I actually made an Instagram post that was something like, I should be bitter we lost that anomaly, but I feel fucking good today. Like, I'm on vacation. The air is nice today. I'm with my friends. Like, I don't give a shit that we lost. It's just a game. Whatever. So that was that. And then Sunday they do this thing called Mission Day. So I make it sound like I did nothing but play the game. And I did do that a lot, but I was able to mix in other things in there. So like Alan and I went out and had a nice dinner at Benihana, which is why I wasn't on Bobby's show last week with a call. We, you know, got to go out to some clubs and things of that sort. So I had a good time. I had a good trip to Chicago. Not a lot of gaming outside of the Ingress stuff. I didn't even play Pokemon Go. Like there was like the shiny Lapras thing happened. I was so fixated on what we were doing for Ingress. And honestly, I haven't touched Pokemon Go in days, which for me is a lot. I usually check it once a day. I've just kind of let my streak go. I'm level 40. I've caught everything that's reasonable to catch.
The amount of experience you get for the streak is like very minimal anyways. And like item wise, you know, with gifts and everything, it's like, oh no, I'm missing out on the item bonus.
That reminds me, I need to send gifts to people. And I did go kind of nuts on Pokemon at Disneyland, and I did a little bit of Ingress, but most of Disneyland was green.
Oh, fun.
So I take that back. Most of Disneyland was blue.
Oh, then you needed the bursters.
Wait, I take no, it was green. Sorry, I'm trying to remember the right color because it's the one that Shane doesn't like.
Anyway. That was essentially my trip in a nutshell. I'll talk a little more about, you know, some of the specific games I played during my gaming week, but we didn't end up going to the barcade or anything like that this time. It was pretty much, Ingress was the only game I was playing over those few days. But I played some Switch stuff on the plane and I played some other games throughout the week. So I had a good week off, like, except the whole getting sick part, like leaving Chicago fucking sucked. So, I mean, everything was beautiful during the time we were there, but the day we left, so we left on Monday, Memorial Day, and I don't know if you guys heard on the news or whatever, but, like, Midway Airport, like, shut down for, like, 2 hours. Like, no flights were coming in or anything like that. So our flight got hosed. We were delayed going back. We didn't get back to Oakland, California, until midnight Pacific time, which is 2 a.m. Central time at that point. And so I didn't get home and crawl into my bed until 2:30 Pacific.
Wow.
And then I had to work the next day. So
shit,
I was
that's pretty
life.
Crappy.
Yeah, it was pretty crappy. But that's the risk you take when you book a late flight, is that there might, especially out of Chicago, where there might be, you know, huge thunderstorms. But it worked out. So anyway, let's get into video games. So yeah, it is a video game show. We had to get some of the personal stuff out of the way. Let's talk about a lot of hype going on. We have some news to talk about tonight. We
not enough as to many leaks as I would have thought by now.
That's very true, but...
But we still have the whole week.
Yeah, it's quiet right now, relatively. I mean, I've seen some gaming week news that get pretty busy. This week was relatively quiet, even past 2 weeks. I mean, if we had done a show last week, there wouldn't have been a lot to talk about. There's a few things, not a lot. So, now that we're back this week, we have enough to fill out a show tonight, but it's relatively light, all things considered, because E3, a week from today, will be underway. By the time our next episode is underway, Microsoft will have said, this is our plan for the holiday season with their press conference. So we know some things about where Microsoft's going, right, Loki?
Yes. So they are going to have about 14 games to show off during E3. So you may remember last year they talked about all these different company acquisitions that they did, bringing them under the Microsoft Game Studios platform, and now we're going to see the fruit of that labor.
I'm kind of surprised it's this soon. I would have still given it two or three years.
Well, not everything necessarily is going to be coming out this year, I'd assume.
True.
They could announce stuff
and
that's going to be coming out.
Some could have already been in development when the
acquisition 2019, I would say maybe early 2020. You could even see maybe some like later announcements. Like we still have, you know, like Halo Infinite that they teased like just so briefly last year, and now we'll probably see more of that.
Battletoads was a big
Battletoads,
thing. They finally confirmed that.
So that'll be awesome. Yeah. So there's lots of stuff, and it's about time, because they really need like games on that platform. They need a reason why I want to buy an Xbox. Although nowadays, with everything coming out on PC, I don't really need to buy an Xbox, because my PC is an Xbox in that sense. So whatever, win-win.
Well, speaking of hardware, do we think we kind of know where Microsoft might end up with that? Are we?
I don't know. Are we going to see the announcement of the next?
That's kind of where my head is at, because I mean, could we see? Because we got a teaser last year, remember? Right at the end, they did
sort of.
They dropped that Project Scorpion or whatever they're calling it. They dropped that little teaser right at the end, so you kind of wonder, like, are we?
But wasn't Scorpio the Xbox One X?
Oh, maybe. Maybe I can't even remember. I thought we got a little teaser right at the end that was indicating something else.
I think that they're like saying, yeah, we're working on another console. Yeah. But I don't know. It would be neat to see if that's what we're going to see, or if that's going to be part of the announcement. Is some of these games going to be on a next console? But
well, the other interesting thing, remember, Microsoft has already said that they anticipate their future games will run on Xbox One. They're trying to get a little more platform agnostic, I suppose, is that, yes, there will be another console that will run the games better, faster, smoother, more graphics and all that, but that these games will work on Xbox One. It's going to be similar to
a PC.
A PC. Or if you play a game on an iPhone 6, it'll work, but it might be a little bit stuttery. You know, it might have some frame rate problems. But if you play it on an iPhone 10 or, you know, the newer ones, whatever, the 10R or whatever, it's going to be very smooth, very high def.
Be curious to see, like, with these new consoles, what they're going to be pushing, how they're going to be pushing these consoles. Because really, fidelity right now, it's – I mean, granted, like, I guess the Xbox One, like, hardware and even the PlayStation 4, like, that stuff is relatively old by today's standards. But – like, fidelity-wise, it's just, like, I don't know how much better we can really get. Like, again, graphics aren't everything. You can make the game look immensely pretty, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a better game. So I'd be curious to see what they're going to leverage to try to make people more interested in those platforms. You know, like, modding, user-generated stuff, that would be kind of cool. I know definitely Microsoft's been more open about that versus Sony, which definitely that weighs in a lot if I'm going to be purchasing another
for
system.
You.
For me, yeah.
ACDEFT in chat says at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, the next gen Xbox is called Scarlet. That was the name of it. So, and I could swear we got a little teaser at the end. YYR in chat is asking, but is fidelity good at 4K and how's the frame rate?
I don't know.
that's Microsoft answer, right?
Yeah, that's really, I mean, 4K looks nice, but like it's not everything that's out there is running at native 4K anyways.
I actually think it's very interesting, and I'm so curious what the future for Microsoft, like, 3 years from now is going to look like, because I do think it's very interesting that they are taking, and, it, you know, now that we're hearing that the focus of E3 sounds like it's going to be games. I think it's very interesting that they are taking the focus off a console. Like, maybe Microsoft will announce a console, but maybe that's not where they want the focus. Like, they want you to be focusing on these games and the fact that the games you can buy on your Xbox One, you can buy their little subscription service and play the games there, or you can play on PC. Because we know Microsoft kind of wants to be more a platform. So maybe Microsoft is starting to kind of dial back how much stock they're putting in their hardware, so to speak, and really focus. Yeah. And it's a very interesting sort of contrast to the expectation, I think, out of Sony right now, not just like something that Sony's putting on themselves, but if you read about the media, you always hear about PlayStation 5. What's Sony doing for PlayStation 5? Oh, they're taking this year off of E3 because they're working on PlayStation 5. And I feel like the conversation when it comes to Sony is very much about this incremental step up, where I feel like Microsoft is not setting that same expectation. It's very interesting to me.
Yeah. Aside from Microsoft, though, too, that's not the only company that's going to be having lots of announcements. So, for example, there was a leak from GameStop employees saying that there's like 21 placeholder SKUs for Switch games as well. So we're going to be seeing, I'm sure, lots of Switch game announcements coming out of E3.
I'm not super surprised to hear that. The Switch has been doing really well. You know, Nintendo is not in the same position with the Switch as they were with the Wii U. They have third-party support, so I anticipate we're not just going to have first-party. We know we're getting Animal Crossing. We know Metroid something's probably happening. Probably not Metroid Prime 4, because they're rebooting that, right? They said that, but maybe like, right, a Metroid collection. And there's probably something we don't know about yet that they will unveil. There'll probably be another type of who knows, something. But then there's probably going to be a bunch of third-party stuff. You know,
right, yeah.
Sega's been a very big supporter of Nintendo, maybe a Sonic something. We've got Square might continue their relationship and put something, who knows, like another remaster or something on the Switch. And, you know, Bandai Namco, I'm sure, is going to do something. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of third-party support. Oh, Bayonetta 3, hello. That's probably, yeah, a big thing for the Switch this year. So 21 games, when you kind of put first and third party together through the holiday, that's actually like, I know it sounds like a lot, and it is, but it's kind of like, that's what I would kind of hope for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Be interesting. Going to chat for some more comments over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Bobby Blackwolf says, one of the things I like about the PlayStation 5 is the idea of the faster load times because of the solid state drive. So if Xbox can copy that idea and also decrease load times, that'd be awesome. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a very logical step, certainly, for the system. YYR saying that's why there's new consoles coming. Also, ray tracing will be a thing. Kaijudo asking, how does 4K enhance my gameplay? I'm more into innovating gameplay, not the new shiny. I think it's kind of a different strokes for different folks argument. I mean, like, when I play a Final Fantasy game, historically, you know, Final Fantasy is that series I've always thought of as, like, really cutting edge with graphics, right? And I do get really excited when I see, like, ooh, this game looks gorgeous. And I think graphics can really, like, grab your attention,
right? It is a fine balance. You can't just push, like, good graphics. You also have to have the gameplay. Because, really, it can look like anything, and if the gameplay's not there, it's right, not going
to
matter.
And we all know in 2019, graphics don't always, you know, you don't have to have cutting edge 4K graphics to have a wonderful game. I mean, retro style games, hello, are all the rage, right?
Well, they have that game that just came out, I think, this week, Gato Roboto.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, looks like a Game Boy black and white type game, you know, with, it's like a Metroidvania with, yeah, a cat.
You
Space
know,
cat.
Minecraft continues to be a powerhouse. A lot of these roguelikes are retro inspired.
Minecraft 2! We're getting Minecraft 2 this year. Part of, you know, 14 games, maybe.
You know, I
said, speaking of high fidelity, Microsoft, when are we getting that 4K texture pack? Is it that the next gen Xbox is the only thing that can really push those 4K graphics?
There's just certain things I've said year after year, and this is the year where I'm just going to stop. So when it comes to Minecraft 2, I'm not putting that out there this year, because I've been let down every other time. Maybe if I don't say it this year, it'll happen. But I agree the 4K pack is something that probably needs to happen first. Renji221 with a pretty good guess. My guess is we're getting the second Smash DLC character during the Direct as well. Let's talk about predictions for a minute. You know, in years past, we've done a fun little, like, listless segment. I don't know if we really – I mean, E3 is just kind of a different show now than it was several years ago. And we already know, like, Sony's not going to be there. We already know certain things are going to be happening. So – but what do you think might be some E3 predictions that we just – we don't know yet?
I would think, let's see, I'd be curious to see what Sony's going to announce. I know they don't really have a presence at E3. They're doing their own thing, but you know, they're going to do like probably whatever their Direct thing is around the same time. I'd be curious to see what they have to announce from Nintendo. I can see another Labo announcement for them. I'm not going to buy it, though, because like, I already have enough cardboard crap lying around my house. Although we did use it this week, so there's that. Microsoft, I really don't know, because they've got just so many... I think we're going to see a lot of new IPs from Microsoft, which is good. Probably Forza Horizon or Forza 5, I would imagine. I mean, it just seems like it's...
Not Horizon. This is... No, this would be Forza. Forza Motorsport, I think it'd be up to 8 now.
Is it...
I think
is
Forza
7 already?
Was the last game. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm way
think.
Up. Yeah. Okay, so Forza 8. What else? I'm trying to think. I don't know. Can we get some DLC for like Crackdown 3 to make me actually want to play it again? Because I've stopped playing that game. I'm not having fun with it anymore. It would be cool if we got some like VR thing from Microsoft. I mean, they do the mixed reality stuff, I guess. But like maybe actually Xbox wise would be kind of cool. I don't know. I just want something like out of left field. You know what? I'm gonna put all my chips on the Amico. Okay, I need to have all of like the amazing announcements coming from the Intellivision side. That's
I chuckle, that. But at the same time, I'm super curious like what their plan is. I legit want to see some of what they're working on. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know what would be like really like I want a new Saints Row game. Can I get a new Saints Row game? Reboot that shit.
All right. I'm going to say I think, you know, obviously you know, Microsoft has very different leadership now, and I think they're a lot more in tune with what their players are kind of asking for and what they want than they were historically. Long story short, I think a Fable 4 is in the works.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think Microsoft probably knows that role-playing games, RPGs, fantasies is kind of one of their weak points, whereas Fable was historically a strong point for them. And I wouldn't be surprised if they gave Fable to one of their other – well, didn't – wasn't – speaking of Horizon, wasn't the thing that Turn 10 was working on an RPG or something? So I don't know. I kind of – I feel like Fable 4 is going to be a thing. If not that – then Microsoft's got some type, maybe because of Molyneux not really being involved anymore, which may not be a bad thing.
Oh, who cares?
Maybe they're gonna launch a new IP that's a new RPG. But
yes, I'm sure Fable's just gonna suffer from Molyneux not being part of it. Yeah.
No, and it might be complicated in using Fable.
If they do a Fable, it has to be completely off the rails.
Oh, sure.
Completely.
Oh, you mean like a role-playing game,
like
Saints Row?
A real role-playing game.
Oh, you want it to be more like...
Dragon Age.
Okay.
Although I would totally be down for a medieval Saints Row.
Right. Yeah, actually.
It's just so stupid that I love that idea.
A medieval Saints Row would be
like. Wouldn't that be fun?
Monty Python, the Holy Grail, like as a game.
And then at the end you get arrested by the police. And then a moose bites your sister.
I could be down with that. I love the absurdity in games.
Dear Eric Idle, talk to your buddies.
But, like, it can't be Saints Row. It's got to be, like, its own franchise. But, like, Saints Row, just medieval.
Okay.
It would be called Saints Row.
Jamie, what about you as far as, like, what do you hope? I mean, we know we're not going to see anything from Sony, but we know we've got Square probably talking about the 7 remake. We've got Nintendo, 21 possible titles. We've got Microsoft with 14.
What about Bethesda? What do you think Bethesda is going to be announcing during their show that we're not going to stop for?
What other continents are there?
Let me come back to that.
In the world of Elder Scrolls?
Oh, well, we know we're not getting Elder Scrolls. Oh, an Elder Scrolls Online expansion. Oh, yeah, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've really kind of stopped predicting certain things just because I've developed this sort of thing that I want to be...
you set an expectation and then ultimately get let down when you do too many predictions. I get it.
I want to be delighted by something
new.
Well,
you know you're getting Animal Crossing, so
well,
is
yeah,
it gonna get
that's really
than
all
that?
I give a shit about. But in the end, though, I really want to be pleasantly surprised by what comes out. I want it to be a I wasn't expecting that. Instead of me going, "Oh, you're gonna do this and it's gonna be great," and it ends up being shit.
Well, let me ask you this: since you are such an Animal Crossing fan, do you think?
Don't die.
Excuse me for animal still getting over a cold. Do you think for Animal Crossing on the Switch, do you think Nintendo is just going to stick to that formula that's worked that they've kind of kept with all the other games?
Yes.
Or do you think they're gonna mix it up?
They've tried to do something different every time. What I would like to see for Animal Crossing Switch is for it to be a combination of all the previous ones. I want the town. I want the customizable little shopping area that you can make yourself, like in New Leaf. New Leaf was really, I think, one of the best of the series. I also wouldn't mind seeing if they were going to, say, put Nintendo games in there, but not have them be NES, have them be like a DLC sort of thing where you can buy like certain Nintendo arcade titles.
Why should I have to? I mean, granted, the DLC stuff, but like if I'm paying for that online pass thing, I already have the Nintendo titles that are part there. Why can't I just bring those in?
How about
incorporate then?
How about Game and Watch or something? I don't know.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
like you find Game and Watch things.
Yeah, I'd like that.
You know, or I think like for some of the you remember how you could get the old Nintendo toys, like the Ultra Stack or whatever. That you can get those toys and actually be able to play with them or something, or having learn Hanafuda in, you know, and have it be like a Nintendo themed deck or something.
Okay.
Or, you know, have it. I just think that there are other things that they could do that there's been the potential to do and actually do it well. And on top of that, why not even incorporate the board game? You know, what's that game that I bought and played like 4 times? The
Mass Effect?
No, the Nintendo, the Animal Crossing.
The Amiibo one?
Amiibo Festival.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then have, like, you can have a job as a happy home designer. Why not incorporate all of it together?
Okay.
Or have it, like, stream your, like, take your saves or something and be able to sync it over to your Switch and or your Pocket Camp integration.
Okay, that'd be cool. Like,
that would be cool. Yeah. And then you could do, like, your Pocket Camp could be, like, your island.
Yeah. Ooh, bringing back the island. I like that.
That would
I don't trust Nintendo to do online that
way. I was like, that'd be cool.
We'll see.
But we're talking Nintendo here.
Yeah, I know.
So dial those expectations down, down.
But, I mean, those are things that I would love to see in an Animal Crossing. I think it would be a lot of fun. It would add it, especially then given... Sorry, I'm dying, too. Especially incorporating in just all the other things that they have out there, all of their other tools that they brought in previous Animal Crossings. And then go back to look on YouTube. There are things that didn't carry over into other Animal Crossings that I think they could look back to the past things that people loved and bring those in. You know, you could have more transitional seasons, for example. You could do... You know, a deep sea fishing rodeo. I don't know, because they love fishing and bug catching and shit.
I just hope online's a little more seamless as opposed to having to go open the gate and close the gate. I want to go hit the citizens in Darksakura's town with a bug net whenever I want
just
on my
Ed.
Clock. So anyway. All right. Well,
by the way, I had a heart attack because I thought Ed had shown up in Pocket Camp. But no, he's a unicorn and he's fine. His name is Julian.
Ed is Darksakura's least favorite animal to have ever crossed.
And I want my lesbian back.
What,
Dina.
Dina.
Dina, who is the gym teacher.
All right, look. enough Animal Crossing for now. Here's what we're going to. So 1 week from tonight, OLR will be back at our usual time, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. Here's the thing. In years past, we have paused the show for Bethesda's press conference. However, this year they've changed the time so that they are starting at 5:30 and assumably going to about 6:30 or 7. We don't know. I'm making a judgment call this year. We're not going to stop the show for Bethesda's conference because We know we're not getting Starfield. We know we're not getting Elder Scrolls 6. And that's not to knock the things that we are going to hear about, but I think they're things that we can kind of – you know Loki's looking at all sorts of things on that laptop. I'm sure he'll have Bethesda's thing. He'll kind of pipe
yeah.
in. If there's something we need to know about, he can pipe in as the show is going. But otherwise, I think we're going to just do a normal show next week. But here's the other thing. This time next week, we will know Microsoft's mysteries. We will know these 14 games because Microsoft is going earlier in the day. They're going in the afternoon.
I will not know.
Because are you gonna be here?
No, I will be here. I won't know until the show because I'm going to be working Pride.
Oh, that's right. Sac Pride is next week.
And it's Saturday and Sunday, and the sisters are working with the talent.
Okay, so next week we'll get to do
I'll say hi to Lizzo for you.
I love Lizzo. Anyway, next week I will we'll get to play a fun game here in studio called Tell Jamie What She Missed at E3, and we'll gauge her reaction. Maybe if I have time, I'll try to put together a little slideshow, and we can put things up on the TV.
Maybe I'll show up in face.
I don't want
to come up here, and I'll be wiping the face off when I come here. It'll be Jamie with like no makeup and white streaks all over from my
usually you
makeup.
Lean back in the chair and they can hardly see you anyway, so
I'll go on cam if I'm in face.
All right.
Show people what a sister looks like. You know what a sister of perpetual indulgence looks like.
Anyway, so yeah, next week, business as usual as far as our schedule. I've talked with Bobby Blackwolf. He was thinking of moving, but he's not going to. He's at business as usual for Bobby as well. So we will update you on Bethesda and what's going on there as the night goes on. But I'm not expecting – none of us are expecting anything where we're going to suddenly just stop the show and go, oh, my God, out of Bethesda. So
my expectations aren't very high there.
I mean, not to poo-poo their offerings. I'm sure there's going to be a new Elder Scrolls Online expansion. That's great for the fans of that game. There's probably going to be with the Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein. There'll be something for Fallout 76. You know,
yeah, maybe something in the Fallout. Like New Vegas
I could see a New Vegas remaster or like Oblivion remaster or something like that. But like, I'm not expecting anything new. Like, I don't know.
So what we won't know this time next week, we will not know Nintendo's offerings. They are not going until – they don't go until Tuesday morning, right?
Yeah.
Because Monday was always the Sony day, which is
Ubisoft still doing their
I believe
thing?
Ubisoft is Monday morning
and Square's –
Square's going to take Sony's spot Monday night. The only other person on Saturday, EA will have gone. So if there is a Dragon Age thing for Jamie, we'll know that on Saturday.
Oh, if there's a Dragon Age thing, though, I will be looking for that because I want to punch Solus in his face.
Yeah. So
that's really what it should be called, Dragon Age 4, punch Solus in the face.
All right. So that's where E3 is at. So E3 hysteria will be underway 1 week from tonight. We'll at least be able to recap Microsoft, kind of Bethesda as it's going on and
whatever. Bobby clarifies Ubisoft set Monday at 1 p.m.
Okay, that's what – so.
Well, I'll be watching that work.
Who was always Monday morning? Was Ubisoft the first thing on Mondays?
No, it was – yeah, they were kind of pretty early in the morning, I think. And then
– EA used to go on Mondays too, right? And they moved –
no, sometimes, yeah. It was like during the day, I think.
Yeah, I feel like – and at one point I felt like Microsoft was the first thing Monday morning. I think a couple years ago they moved back to Sunday.
Bobby says in chat that Squenix is Monday at 6 p.m.
Okay.
Nintendo is Tuesday at 9 a.m. Okay. EA is Saturday at 9:15 a.m.
Okay, that's all kind of what I was thinking actually. So yeah, I always thought there was another – oh, the PC show. That's a Monday thing, isn't it? Or are they not doing it this year?
They're doing it this year. Yeah.
But we don't – I mean, have we ever gotten anything that made us scream out of the PC show? No.
But when's Devolver's? When's Devolver Digital?
Devolver is at the end of our – I believe they're Sunday night towards the end of OLR.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's really where it's at.
All right. Yeah, Bobby clarifies Sunday 7 p.m. So all right. Thank you. Bobby's giving us all the updates in chat. This is Bobby's the manager here, E3 manager.
Yeah, it looks like PC game shows in the morning.
All right. Okay, so the PC game show, I think, took a space that used to be something else. But anyway, we'll deal with all that. So we'll talk about E3 and what's going on next week here on the show and, of course, reacting with you guys here. What I haven't talked to Bobby about – so Bobby and I both have day jobs as well as everybody else here in studio. So we can't really do like a live thing for Nintendo, although I believe some folks will be gathering here in the chat room and we'll be hosting Nintendo's thing. But for Square Enix – we might be able to do something. So I'll talk to Bobby about that later if maybe we want to do a video thing during Square Enix and and do that. That thing which I usually don't like, where people talk over the press conference and all that stuff. But I think we can put our own spin on it and not have it be so irritating. I'll never forget the year I found, oh, finally, somebody is streaming the Nintendo thing, and it's just some guy going, this looks like shit. Fucking Nintendo. What the Nintendo putting out all this shitty stuff? And I'm just like, oh, my God, delete your account. Like, why are you streaming if all you're going to talk is shit about this? Ugh. Anyway. SSG100 Matt says, a post-show sass fest. Maybe something like that. But a little – but sass like the good kind of sass. So
it'll be Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed. thanks. I hate it. All right. let's move on.
Bitch, you know I'm fabulous here.
Let's get into our gaming week and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week? Did you get to play some games on your trip? Well, it's been 2 weeks, maybe around.
I did some Ingress. I did some Pokemon. I did a lot of Pokemon Go, actually. And of course, you know, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. You know, it was all just stuff I had on my phone. I don't really get to do any, like, console-y things. Although Dan and I, we've been working, you know, trying to get the stuff together to do our stream. But we have to get the this thing set up on our CRT. And we just redid our office. So we're debating if it's going to be Symphony of the Night. But I kind of want to do the Saturn version so I can just play through the whole thing as Maria. Or, you know, we were thinking of A Link to the Past, so we haven't decided. I'm leaning toward Castlevania. I've been watching a stream of it, and I was like, fuck, I love this game. Why is this bitch using the Heavenly Sword and not getting the Yasutuna, which is the best fucking weapon in the game? You get that and two rings of Varda, you are a whiz. No one can stop you.
Have you picked up the Castlevania Collection?
No.
You should.
Mm.
It's fun. I don't know.
I mean, we've already got all of those games on other things.
I guess that's true.
So sort of like, what's the point?
I guess that's true. I'm looking forward to the Japanese update that's going to let me play like the Famicom version of Castlevania 3. That'll be cool.
That would make it worthwhile. Because we were even talking about that, you know, when you go to fight in Symphony of the Night, when you go to fight Grant and Sypha and Trevor, Grant can throw his knives, whereas in the US one in Castlevania 3 you could throw them. In Castlevania 3, the Japanese one, but in the US one it was stabby stab.
Questbusters reminded me in chat that a Bloodstained is happening this month. I forgot about that.
Bloodstained is happening.
Exciting.
And that will be Stellar.
Anything else for you, Dark Sakura?
Eh.
Let's go to Loki. How was your gaming week?
I played a little bit of Dance Dance Revolution this week. And been trying to get back into that again. And I also did bust out a little bit on the Oculus Rift. So I tried Minecraft in VR. It was all right. It was neat. Just messing around and creative in that. The one thing I didn't like about it, though, is I was trying to use the crossbow, and wherever you would think intuitively that, like, wherever you're pointing is where you should be aiming the arrow, but it was, like, aiming it, like, where I was looking, sort of, but not quite. And so you can never really hit anything with it, which is kind of annoying. And then I tried they have this like free like VR experiencing for Coco. So I tried that and I couldn't figure out what it wanted me to do. It's like go on stage. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how to get there. And like I was walking around doing all the crap that they wanted me to do and I couldn't fucking figure it out. And so I deleted it because this is stupid. And then what else? A little bit of Vacation Simulator. I've been playing that. It's not as fun as Job Simulator, unfortunately. That's the bad thing. But it's all right. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. My gaming week. So I talked about my weekend in Chicago and all that Inger stuff. So that was that. Barely touched Pokemon Go as a result. But that's okay. I kind of need something really to excite me about Pokemon Go again. And these raids aren't doing... I did one Pokemon raid in Chicago, some type of Abraham Lincoln statue when we were walking around this park one day. I was actually with Misty OLR. She met us in Chicago and hung out with us for a little bit one day. And we did a Pokemon raid at some at Lincoln Park. We did a raid, and that Azelf, for whatever it is, I didn't catch it. It was frustrating because I'm like, this is probably the one time I'm going to get to raid this thing, and there it goes. But hopefully somebody will take pity on me and trade me one. We'll see. But otherwise, that's really it for that game. So I've been playing a little bit of the Castlevania Collection on PlayStation 4 because I picked that up right when it came out. Also been playing a little more Final Fantasy 14. There's an interesting event going on right now which encourages you to do some of the older content. It's probably to help get people in the queues for that old content to help everybody get caught up for the new expansion that's coming out at the end of the month, which, by the way, I would bet that Microsoft getting Final Fantasy 14, that seems like that's got to happen sooner rather than later. It seems weird that they still don't have it, yeah. Especially now in this era of like crossplay is not really an issue anymore. Everybody's kind of let down their guard on that. Like, I don't know what's holding back on Final Fantasy 14 and Xbox One. So I would think that's going to be a thing that happens. But anyway, been playing a lot of Diablo 3 as well. I usually – there's one Blizzard game I'll start playing the shit out of for a month or so. And I was starting it the last time we talked. But without a power level, I got all the way to 70. And I think I'm Paragon 50 now. And I just cleared my level 20 Greater Rift so I can get my six-piece set in Diablo 3. For those that play the game and understand exactly what I just said, I just did all that stuff. So I've been having fun with that. While I was on my flight, I enjoyed the classic NES library because, you know, yeah. Once you check in online, it's good for 7 days. So I was able to play on the plane. So I was playing Super Mario 2 quite a bit. That's kind of like my go-to NES game that I'll do a playthrough every few months or so. Like, let's go kick Wart's ass because it only takes about not even an hour to get through. It's a pretty fast game if you use all the warp zones. So I played a little bit of that on the plane, and I was playing some other Switch games too. So I played Tetris 99 offline.
Oh, yeah.
You can do that with the new big, what do they call it, Big Piece DLC or whatever it is that they released. So I was able to play that on the plane a little bit against computer opponents. And I can win when it's the computer. So that made me feel really good. I won a match on that. So that was pretty exciting. So, otherwise that was pretty much my gaming week. So there's that. So, looking in chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Run, Jump, Stomp. I believe this comment is about Final Fantasy 14 saying, the thing that's holding its back is Sony, I'm sure. But this time, unlike Final Fantasy 11, when Play Online was kind of like a joint venture between Sony and Square, Sony doesn't really have a thing with Final Fantasy 14. I mean, because Final Fantasy 14 was always playable with the console, PlayStation, and PC. Sony never had a problem with that end of it, probably because they know it's like more like an MMO and this is what Square wants to do. It seemed like Microsoft, when 14 was being developed, was the holdout. But, you know, 14 started development 6-7 years ago, and I just think the crossplay rules have changed a lot. I kind of don't think it – I guess that's my really long-winded way of saying when it comes to Final Fantasy 14, specifically that game, I don't think it matters what Sony wants. I think Square already has the buy-in for Sony to do crossplay on that because 14 has always supported the PC and the PlayStation, at least since Realm Reborn. 1.0 was garbage and wasn't even on the PlayStation 3 or 4, so but ever since Realm Reborn. So let's see. I guess that's it. That's it for my gaming week. Let's get into some gaming news, shall we?
Yes.
All right.
So this is a pretty...
Oop.
What?
The stream accidentally cut out because my fat finger hit the wrong button. And so we're having an issue where the stream is cut out and it is completely my fault. And I'm going to hope we're back online shortly. But go ahead and start the next story for us, Loki.
All right. So... this is pretty exciting, but apparently they're going to be bringing the Xbox Game Pass to PC, finally, because I've been asking for this to happen for the longest time. So that's pretty cool. So what they're going to be doing is a little bit different than how it's working on the Xbox One, but there'll be, I guess, 100 games which will be playable on... many of which are on Xbox One, but of those also, a lot of them are going to be these Universal Windows apps that'll support different Windows 32 applications. And they're going to have other third-party games in there as well. So, like, from, you know, Deep Silver, Sega, Devolver Digital, Paradox, Bethesda, that type of stuff.
And I'm going to stop you right there for just a minute because we're going to do just a quick little thing here that I'm going to have to edit in post-production to try to fix our stream tonight. But we will be right back.
So yeah.
Okay, after a little tech fail, we are back.
Yes. So lots of different third-party publishers, and of course, you know, just like the Xbox One, you're also going to get the day-and-date stuff, like the brand new games. Gears of War 5, they mentioned, Age of Empires 1 through 3 Definitive Editions. They're also going to be getting in the Master Chief Collection on PC. And then I would assume, you know, whatever new games they announce this year, those are going to probably be day-and-date with this stuff. So I don't know. It sounds pretty awesome. I don't know when this is going into effect, but I guess we're supposed to learn more about it probably during E3, so in like a week
or so. That
would
be a very logical time for them to explain everything about this on the PC. But,
so I'd be curious, but I mean, that sounds like a good deal to me. It sounded like a good deal when I was on the Xbox One. I just don't have an Xbox One, so I was like, I'd do it if it was, you know, on PC. Well, now it is. I have no excuse.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what it is on PC. I would probably pick this up if I can do it on PC. I would love one that's both. Do you think it'll be both? Where if I pay
Maybe.
For it once, I can get it on both sides? Because that would be amazing.
I think there's different things on the PC one, so maybe they will. But or maybe if you like subscribe to it, you get this on PC and this on Xbox. Or I don't know.
I'd be okay with that.
I guess we'll find out in a week.
Stay tuned for the press conference. All right, sounds good. Moving on to a story over on the Nintendo Switch and Super Mario Maker 2. So some more details came out on Super Mario Maker 2, some of them good, some of them not so good. So let's start with the bad news, because this was all over Twitter and had a lot of people going, WTF, Nintendo, give me a break. Super Mario Maker 2 will limit the online multiplayer to random players only. You can still play with your friends if you play local wireless play. But a Nintendo representative explained, Nintendo's reasoning is that with global leaderboards, the matchmaking for competitive play would be compromised if you could play with friends. That limitation also extends to co-op play as well, despite those not being leaderboard driven. So they couldn't have just, if you're playing with friends, have maybe just not put those on leaderboards,
or
will pop up that says
no one has friends, Rob.
Or here's the thing, is like the local play that they have is unranked anyway, so you couldn't put unranked in multiplayer as well online.
I know it's I don't get it.
It's because I know it's because we just don't want to build matchmaking servers is what we don't want to do, and so we're just gonna randomly.
But
then again, I guess if
you can play Mario Kart with your friends and you can do Splatoon with your
friends.
Well,
doesn't make any
although
sense.
Although you couldn't at first.
But they're well, here's the thing though, like they're trying to like solve a problem that's not even there yet. And like with like I think they did something similar with like Splatoon too, where they tried to like limit you in certain ways that you can play on there, but it still didn't stop the people from hacking the game and cheating like crazy. It's not going to stop it here in Mario Maker either. It's just going to be people are doing it in other ways and not necessarily playing your friends to exploit stuff. I just think it's you're trying to solve for a problem that's not even a problem yet.
And on top of that, hopefully there won't be any like related voice business with any of it, because I'm sure as many other people of the female persuasion know, online play is a very toxic environment.
Well, even if there was, Nintendo, you have to jump through loopholes by using their app to get voice chat anyway, which most people don't bother with. So it's kind of assumed that most people aren't using voice chat. Most people that game on the Switch with their friends and the game and the games that allow you to do that just use Discord or something or a Skype call or something.
Well, right,
to
which
get
is
around.
But if you won't be able to play with your friends.
Yeah.
It's again putting someone into a toxic environment.
Oh yeah, and I would never use voice chat with playing with randos, and I'm probably not going to use the feature to play with randos. It's not really something I'm interested in doing. But like, I was really excited about the potential of going live on Twitch and doing a co-stream with Bobby or Delvin or one of my streaming friends, and we could stream a level on Mario Maker together. And that would have been really fun, but now we can't do that because this design is stupid. So I'm hoping it's one of those things that they're going to fix pretty quickly out the gate. You know, to be fair, again, I don't think Splatoon had it right away, and they ended up building it in, so maybe the same
they
thing.
They could always add it later and be like, we've listened to you. We listened
to
this
you. This was part of our roadmap all along.
Yes.
Anyway. So maybe some good news.
The roadmap to hell.
Some good news. You know, I said the bad news. Here's some good news. So all the building features in Super Mario Maker 2 are unlocked from the start. So you don't have to actually unlock things as you go or anything like that. The level builder will have all of the features unlocked from the start, so you don't have to worry. You know, even though there's like a single player mode where you're rebuilding the castle and stuff, nothing's going to be locked.
Yeah, that kind of sucked the first time around. Yeah, the kind of like time jump and stuff in order to unlock things.
So that's some good news, I guess, to kind of, you know, say something good to go with the bad. What I haven't heard is all that amiibo stuff coming back?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's a bummer. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I don't think there's any amiibo support whatsoever.
Oh, no. Where you can get all the different Mario skins?
No,
I love that.
I don't think that they have that.
Oh, that's kind of... That's sad. I don't know. I understand that people are not crazy about amiibo, but
was cool.
You could do, and it wasn't all amiibo either. There was like competitions online that you would, if you cleared a certain map, you would unlock a skin that you could use. Yeah. I like that stuff. I'm kind of disappointed.
I'm pretty sure I read that it's not.
Yeah, chatters are echoing that, saying no amiibo support. Amiibo are done.
But why? I don't understand.
But amiibo's not done. They're still putting out the new Smash ones. They just put one out for
Daisy. Was it
that
they're afraid that someone's going to find, like, I don't know, like, hack an update or something like that and spoil the surprise of new amiibo? I don't know.
It seems like a reach. I liked that you could have all those. You would think they already put it in there for the first game, at least support the same, whatever. Maybe it has something to do with not wanting to do the skins for other configurations. But it was always only the retro anyway. You couldn't play those different like skins. They were only for the 8-bit Mario. So
well, and on top of that, you know, too, they also have that pre-order bonus. It's only in Europe now, which doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff with Mario Maker right now. So I hope Nintendo kind of gets on the right path and gets that all figured out. Because this game's out we're in June now, right? This game's out at the end of the month because it's coming out for my birthday. Woo! So I'm excited about that. So, all right. Well, there you go. Super Mario Maker 2. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
I have naps. Lots and lots of naps. And some disappointment. Pokemon Sleep. Have you heard of it? It's what the opposite of Go is. It helps you level your Pokemanses while you're sleeping. It's a sleep monitor.
Pokemon Go Take a Nap.
Yeah, Pokemon Go Take a Nap. Pokemon Go to Bed. I wanna. And of course, that's why we have all the Snorlaxes all over the place. Because of sleep. But, you know, they missed an opportunity because they have a sleeping Pikachu, and it should have fucking been Jigglypuff with a mic singing you the fuck to sleep. It's set to come out in 2020, and it's going to work with a little thing called the Pokemon Go Plus Plus. That's the name of it, the Pokemon Go Plus Plus, which will have a sleeping tracker, which you would then put by your pillow for it to monitor your sleeping. I'm pretty sure that since the Pokemon Go app works on Apple Watch.
For now. That's coming up later in the show.
Oh, fuck. That hopefully they would see the value of partnering.
Since Adventure Sync is a thing in Pokemon Go, using your watch data to walk your Pokemon, maybe it will use your watch data. Or whatever. We keep saying Apple Watch because Jamie and I are Apple people, but I know you're a Fitbit guy. So, same thing, right?
Yeah, I have a workaround. Yeah, but it works, with Adventure Sync.
It's the same thing. So, you know, maybe the Fitbit. Does Fitbit monitor your sleep?
Yes.
Does it have a little light to do heart rate and all that
stuff?
Yes,
if I wear this at night, it will monitor my sleep.
Yeah, I do. I use this to monitor my sleep. I charge my watch when I'm in the shower, and I charge it because we all know that when you go to bed, you're really lying in bed playing on your phone for 30 more minutes. So, I will charge my watch while I'm in bed, like, but not in bed yet, and so that's enough to get my phone, my watch through the day, and so I let it actually monitor my sleep, and it's very interesting. Like, so yesterday, I didn't talk about this, but I also went to an Ingress thing yesterday called First Saturday, and I walked a lot yesterday. I walked like 5 miles, and I was doing a lot of microfielding and stuff, and I got my heart rate like up. So when I slept last night, my heart rate decreased by 28%, which is really good. And so that's something that my sleep monitor kind of tells me. So it's interesting. Like, it's not life changing, but it's interesting.
If I didn't have to sleep with a brace on my left wrist, which is the wrist I wear my watch on, I might give that a try.
Yeah.
But.
So anyway, no guarantee that watches or Fitbits or any of it are going to work.
It's still stupid, though, that I should buy another app. Like, even if, let's just say I have a gotcha, but I don't have the Pokemon Go Plus or whatever.
Plus.
But now I have to buy another one to, like,
use
this.
Yeah, it's going to be like $35.
So, you know, that's not going to happen. And it better work with my watch.
Yeah, I'm interested if it works with my watch. I'm not if I have to buy yet another accessory.
And how's it supposed to work anyways? Like, you're not even wearing it. It doesn't...
Well... as I was going to say, it actually is being developed by Select Button that worked on Magikarp Jump. And basically, it's supposed to, you connect it to your phone, for the Go Plus Plus anyway, to send your sleep data as you sleep wearing it. Although it said something about like putting it beside your pillow as well.
That's what Agdef's saying in chat. It isn't one that you wear, you put it by your pillow.
How the hell does that
there
work?
There are sleep monitors that work under your pillow.
And Bobby is mentioning something about that he has a sleep monitor in the bed. So I'm sure there's like mattresses that do that too.
Yeah.
Smart mattresses?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, no.
That's scary.
I'm sure it's a thing.
No, there are. It was called like Bedum or something or Bed something that was a smart mattress to monitor your sleep.
Bobby, we detected sex. We're going to add it to your exercise for the day.
Bobby in chat says Sleep IQ is what they call it on sleep number beds.
Yeah, but on top of that, there are monitors that you put under your pillow that actually track your movement in your sleep, like how often you're moving around. If you fall into REM sleep, you don't move, ideally, unless you're just, you know, an active sleeper.
We've detected only half the way in the bed tonight. Did you make your husband sleep on the couch? Yes or no?
At any rate, it's interesting. I'm probably going to give it a try. Okay, so yeah, this thing is, it's actually $40, I think, for the thing.
I'm hating it more and more, Jamie.
And then, yeah, and of course, then they also talked about, you know, bringing out Switch games, but they said something about a cloud-based service called Pokemon Home that lets you link your phone and your Switch so that you can do your Pokemon together.
Huh. I wonder.
They didn't put enough about it here.
We have a Pokemon Direct on Gen 8 coming up in this next week, I think just before E3. So that's another thing that we'll be talking about next week's show, is that we'll know a little more on Pokemon Gen 8. And maybe when they talk a little more about Pokemon Sword and Shield, they might explain that a little better than they have.
Don't forget about Pokemon Gun. I'm still waiting for Pokemon Gun.
Here's the thing. Agdef in chat says $40 doesn't seem that bad. You're right, but here's the problem I'm having. So we had the Pokemon Go Plus the first year.
Do you know how many tacos that would be?
Then last year, it was the Pokemon Go Ball.
Yeah, the Ball Plus, yeah.
The Ball Plus. And now it's a Pokemon Go Plus Plus. I'm sorry. No. We're done with hardware. I'm done.
Exactly.
Nintendo,
like,
we're done with hardware.
I bought the Ball Plus thing just to play around with that one game. And I've used it before as a Pokemon Go Plus type thing. I have a gotcha. I'm not buying another piece of hardware because I already have something that monitors my sleep. I don't need to wear two things.
Guess who doesn't have any of that shit?
I won't blame Nintendo for the gacha because that is a third-party device that they probably don't like, let's be real.
That's too fucking bad.
I'm not going to count the gacha against them. But the reality is I'm not interested in another piece of Pokemon hardware for this. If it does something in addition with Gen 8 or something, maybe I'll revisit
this.
I
want the Eevee Tamagotchi.
But for now, I just think Pokemon Sleep ought to work with watches and Fitbits.
I think it should.
So, and Agdef confesses in chat, I'm a Poke Plus whore. All right, well, then that's, you know what? From somebody who has bought Mass Effect 3 four times, I'm not going to criticize. You do you, boo.
And then also, I have to see what exactly the advantage, how is this going to tie in with Pokemon Go? I mean, like, what advantages are we getting for paying $40?
I'm going to wait for the IRL reviews.
Fair enough.
But right. I'm probably not going to get it because, honestly, I don't fucking need it to enjoy my Pokemon games. Yeah.
All right. More to come probably next week after the big Pokemon Direct that we know is coming this week. So in the meantime, we will move on with another story. Loki.
So this is kind of neat. Google is basically putting out new Play Store policies requiring game developers to show players what the chances are of getting items contained in loot boxes, in random loot boxes, I should say. And a part of this, I guess... It says that apps offering mechanisms to receive randomized virtual items from a purchase, i.e. loot box, must clearly disclose the odds of receiving those items in advance of purchase. So apparently Apple has similar rules already for at least a few years, but it's interesting to see that this is something that is being forced on multiple fronts now, which is good because they also have legislation going in that's, you know, supposed to remove these types of microtransactions as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what effect this has on mobile games because there's a lot, Jesus Christ, like tons of mobile games with loot boxes, so. We'll see what this does.
There's a lot, but I will give Google credit here because, you know, I believe it was on the last episode or the one before we were talking about how, you know, the U.S. government, the U.S. Senate or House is looking to step in and regulate this. We were talking about this on this episode. And I said it is up to Nintendo, Sony, and these store, the ones that run the store, it is up to them at this point to solve this problem or the problem will be solved for them. So I will give Google this. They are trying to solve the problem. So I'm going to give polite applause. There you go. It's very polite, so you might not be able to hear it. But it's I'm giving polite applause to Google because this is the direction we have to move in or the government's going to try to solve it. We don't. What this government doesn't solve problems. They create problems. We know that. So this is a good thing. So, and yeah, you're right. There's a lot of stuff on mobile that does. Now, I don't think this can be the only thing that we do. And obviously the other consoles have to figure something out here. But this is a good step by Google.
Yes.
And we have a big Apple event coming next week as well. We're starting to get rumors about iTunes might be replaced and all this other stuff we're hearing out of Apple. Maybe Apple could do a similar
thing. Thank God. I hope it happens.
Apple could go a similar direction. They may announce this at the developers conference.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I can see.
We'll see. We may get an update on this Apple Arcade and all that.
Yeah, the arcade stuff. Yeah, definitely. As far as the loot box stuff, Apple's had this in place since 2017, so they've had that restriction. But yeah, I'm curious to see so many announcements.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says EA has to get on board. They're the problem. I agree with you to an extent, SSJ, but consider this. They actually don't have to get on board. Not after what Google just did. So guess what? As far as Android devices are concerned at this point, EA is now on board because Google changed it. Does that make sense? So if PlayStation, Apple, Nintendo, if everybody follows these... Well, I'm just saying as far as like the odds, one part of it. I'm not saying the problem's gone, yay. But this one part of it that could go a long way
On the Play Store, they have to do that. But then again, you know, you have games like Fortnite and stuff that have their own launchers that you do it externally. So EA could just sidestep the whole store, put out their own store that you download through the Play Store. And then, or even externally, and then sell their games through that and not have to abide by that. But then that would also look kind of shady.
Yeah.
It'd be like, well, why aren't you disclosing these odds? Because we're assholes.
Some comments in chat about the Apple stuff. ActF says that Apple conference is going to be quite interesting. Bobby, at least it's not the same. I remember quite often Apple and E3 would be the same week. That's not happening this time. Apple's next week, and then E3's the week after, so at least we get a reprieve there. Bobby Blackwolf says, I'm going to miss my iTunes library, sad face. The one Apple product I use is getting killed. I would think, and maybe, I don't know if you're saying this tongue-in-cheek, but I thought it was very obvious that, like, because everything's in the cloud and Apple knows what you own, like, whenever they have a new music app or whatever, obviously they're not just killing iTunes without something to replace it. So whatever this stands.
Sorry, we got nothing.
No, they're not going to do
that.
I'm
going to tell you this right now because, on the phones, there is the music app.
Yeah.
There's a separate TV app.
There's a podcast app.
And
you're.
And I like having them separated.
And it already knows, like the TV app says, oh, you've bought these TV shows since you're.
And if you don't like it, apple.com/feedback.
All your stuff is in the cloud. So I don't think you're going to lose anything, but it is going to be a little weird. I will say this for this very show, Orange Lounge Radio, I do all the MP3 tagging and the artwork loading in iTunes. So I'm just going to hope that the standalone music app is just basically iTunes so I can continue to kind of do that or I guess I have to figure out how to do it in Winamp or something else. So, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine, though. I'm not too worried about it. Anyhow. All right.
I'm just going to say this. I wouldn't be surprised if some of this goes through the same stuff that goes for book publishing, for the self-published through Apple Books.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if it goes through the same publishing channels.
Bobby Blackwell says most of my iTunes library is ripped CDs, so they don't know. Okay, I see what you're saying. But I can't imagine you're not going to be able to just drag
unless
and drop
you have iTunes Match.
or you just drag and drop into the music app. I doubt they're going to make it that. They would know that they're going to get pushback from music lovers that if suddenly the MP3s you created don't work. I'm sure it'll be easy. I'm not too worried about it.
Well, and on top of that, there's also GarageBand is free.
Oh, does GarageBand have a music library in it?
No, but oh. you can.
Oh, rip CD. Yeah, but you don't want to do it again. If you've ripped like 500
no,
CDs,
I'm saying
you
can. Your MP3s aren't going to go anywhere. Yeah. They're still going to be physically on your computer unless you're using iTunes Match and put it in the cloud yourself.
Got it.
What I'm saying is that you can bring in your own MP3s still in GarageBand to convert them for other purposes.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. we went from Google all around the bend. We got an update this week on Death Stranding. A pretty big update, in fact. One that might have surprised some people. Guess what, y'all? Death Stranding's coming out this year. It's a 2018 game. How about that?
I still don't know what it's about.
No, we still don't know what it's about. It's about babies in jars. And it does seem like there's this interesting thing where you don't ever die. You go to the upside down, which sounds a lot to me like the first version of Prey. Remember Prey,
yes.
The shooter? Not the recent, but back when it was more like a ID game, and you know the first time they did Prey, you never died. You went to this like spirit world where you had to like get enough birds, and then you went back to and reincarnated.
But it is though. I mean, what if though this like whatever other world is it literally called the Upside Down? Because I don't think
no. That's a Stranger Things reference. But
I had a feeling because I was like, really?
Swear to God, go ahead.
What I was going to say is that it makes me think, though, of very Silent Hill things where you had your, I guess, darker world that would come in. So I think that's more of a nod back to its Silent Hill roots.
Well, to that point, actually, I swear to God, in the trailer, they mentioned something about PT. So maybe this
I'm
is
sure kinda there were unused ideas that are going to show up in this Death Stranding. It's been a few years, so it'll be a.
It looks good. Yeah. I just don't know what the hell it's about. But did you see that collector's edition?
With the actual baby in the jar and all that?
Yes, with the actual baby. Life-size baby.
I don't think I want a baby in a jar. I don't want any babies in jars or outside of jars.
Yeah, I'm going to be passing
babies are icky.
I'm gonna pass on that collector's edition as well.
Other people can have babies. All right. Not this bitch.
What else can other people have, Dark Sakura? Next up in news.
Ghosts. Ghostbusters, what do you want? That's the best line in that whole movie, by the way. After a decade, we are getting a remaster of Ghostbusters the video game, which is, for all intents and purposes, the third Ghostbusters movie, the one they wanted to do, right? And, I mean, it's got, of course, they recorded everything while everyone was still alive, but, you know, it's got the original cast from the movie, it's just got a great story. It's a really great game. And I'm really looking forward to having it, you know. And I'm really glad that it's, you know, a way to keep the franchise alive. I mean, I'll be honest. I haven't seen the AU version with the female cast, which I should. I own a copy. But there's just something nostalgic for all of us who grew up with Ghostbusters. You know, I've got laser discs of Ghostbusters 1 and 2. And when that game came out, you better believe that we shot right out and got it.
I remember the first Ghostbusters game on Commodore 64 and Atari 2600, and that game was fun. And then there was a Ghostbusters 2 game I remember on early PCs, like with VGA graphics, right? Mm-hmm. That was pretty good, too. So the Ghostbusters games have always been pretty good, but I also miss this remaster. But, you know, some folks in chat are kind of agreeing there. Questbuster in chat says, it's literally the third movie. Jamie is spot on. Even Aykroyd pretty much said the same thing.
Exactly. If I remember correctly, it was based on one of Aykroyd's screenplays that he had prepared for a third Ghostbusters movie. So I'm super, super thrilled. But at any rate, it's going to be out on the modern consoles, and I'm just really, 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 really looking forward to it. But I mean, and you know, goes back into, you know, back to the Gozer storyline, and you know, Ivo Shandor, who was, you know, the main person that they were researching, and it was just, you know, really such a great game, and I'm super, 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 super happy that it's coming out. And I'm probably going to be getting this on PS4.
YYR is pointing out, worth a mention, if you have Xbox One, you don't need the remaster. Just play the original via backwards compatibility. But remember,
don't have an Xbox One.
And remember, a few weeks ago, they delisted the game, you know, actually probably a couple months ago at this point. Now, granted, I'm sure you could find a disc at GameStop or on eBay or something like that.
In fact, now at GameStop, on those used games for the Xbox 360, they do mark if they're compatible with Xbox One on there.
Interesting. But yeah. I would think maybe it's going to drive up the price a little bit, but probably not like sky high. But I imagine GameStop's going to know, like, oh, people are going to be suddenly interested in this because, you know, I don't see it going sky high. It might go up from like $5 to $10, but I'm sure, you know, there's probably still ways to find it.
Well, at any rate, I am super, 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 super happy. Like, this is me going rawr.
Okay, awesome. All right, moving on. Loki, what do you have for us?
So you may remember we talked about the Overwatch Workshop, which is a brand new thing that allows players to create their own custom game types and all sorts of weird things. What is the most popular mods that are available for Overwatch? Well, the number one mod is Uno. Yes, that's right, the card game. So you can actually play Uno in Overwatch now. Some other notable mentions as well. The Floor is Lava Parkour. They have McCree Hot Potato, Hammond Racing, Gun Game, which is, you know, I think from Call of Duty or Battlefield, one of those. D.Va Bumper Cart, Flappy Bird, and, well, there's interesting stuff. They have a portal gun mode as well, and even a Super Smash Brothers mode type that actually looks like Smash Brothers. So pretty crazy all the stuff that is actually being created for this. The Uno one, actually, people have spent, I guess, almost 1,400 hours playing Unoverwatch. Wow. And I guess across, you know, they said, looks like 1,500 matches. And then, of course, the second one, Floor is Lava Parkour, and McCree Hot Potato, 1246 and 1048 hours.
You know, I've been out of the loop on Overwatch, admittedly. I haven't really played a lot, but this is definitely going to make me take another look. And, you know, Blizzard's kind of done this sort of thing before, and it, you know, StarCraft 2 was the game that they did. They had that whole StarCraft 2 arcade.
Yes.
And it was a very similar thing with StarCraft Workshop. And I loved, there was Star Jeweled, where you basically played Bejeweled, but it was StarCraft. It would cause a StarCraft match to kind of automate. And they had another one called Ire Chef, because Ire is one of the races in StarCraft. They had one where you had to, like, go out and get ingredients and stuff, and it was it was fun. So, and these were, like, those two particular games were, like, official Blizzard, like, arcade products. And, you know, if you want to talk about, like, modding and arcade stuff, heck, go all the way back to Warcraft 3 and this little mod called Defense of the Ancients, or Dota. I mean, that started a whole nother... That started the MOBA genre of games, for which we have Heroes of the Storm, Dota 2, League of Legends. You know, that all owes itself to something like this. So, who knows? Maybe The Floor is Lava will be a next Valve acquisition. And then they'll put out the second game, and then never a third game. That'll be the way it goes. So, I'll check that out. It sounds good. Bobby Blackwolf says, this might get me to Overwatch. Yeah, why not? I mean, and Overwatch, is it only $20 now? Did they finally, like, permanently...
It's pretty, yeah, it's down.
Did they finally permanently put the price down? I don't know, or is it still, like, 50? I don't know. Anyway, ActDev says, though, they need to fix some of the stuff in the regular game. Cough, cough, better console support, and so forth. So, Dark Tetsuya says, hashtag, the floor is Lava 3 confirmed. Bonds 006 says, yes, the granddaddies are getting some shine. Dota. Hey, well, yeah, with Warcraft 3 remastered, let's not forget, that's a Blizzard thing that they're working on. So it'll be interesting to see that original Dota getting remastered. I'm confident Blizzard has to be, like, not only are they thinking about the original Warcraft 3 game, that mod has got to be up and running day one. They're going to have some type of official Dota mod for that day one, because that'll get people interested in Warcraft 3 right there, I'm sure. So anyway, moving on. We kind of referenced this a little bit earlier in the show, and it has to do with Pokemon Go and the Apple Watch. And so, Dark Soccer, I'm sorry to say, Pokemon Go is dropping Apple Watch support after July 1st. The reason why is that basically it's not useful anymore because they built Adventure Sync into the game. So Adventure Sync kind of takes your steps and your buddy candy and all that stuff and puts it in the game. So they felt that the Watch app was a little bit redundant and not worth them basically putting extra resources into. So rip.
But I liked it linking to my workouts.
Yeah. But I think Adventure Sync will also link to your workouts. So, yeah. Adventure Sync will track data through fitness apps, including data sent from the Apple Watch. So, that's that. So, basically, the Adventure Sync mode killed the Apple Watch support. I think it is notable, though, that we're here because I feel like it was just 2 years ago at Apple's big event where they were talking about this on stage, and so now it's gone. And it's not, I mean, like, it's not like EA pulling online servers after only a year and a half. I mean, they're pulling this because something a little more advanced replaced it, so it's not that big a deal. But it is just interesting, like, how fast the technology moves, right? That's where this is how fast technology moves. What we were once shouting about on stage is, look at this cool new feature for the game that everybody's playing, is now, oh, it's sunsetted because it's redundant. That's how fast technology is moving, and I thought that made this very noteworthy. So from there, we'll take a trip back in time to the classic game of the week. Every week here on the show, Dark Sakura takes a step back through space and time to find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be checking out this game this week. But in a 2019 twist, once a month, she spotlights a game as a classic soundtrack of the month. And just ironically, with us being off last week, I believe the last show we had May's soundtrack of the month, and now today we're getting June's soundtrack of the month. So lots of soundtracks. But a good choice tonight. I'm excited to hear more about this. So Dark Soccer, what is the classic soundtrack of the month?
The classic soundtrack of the month is actually R-Type for, and I actually picked two consoles for this because I thought, while I do think one is better than the other, the other one is fairly noteworthy for what it is.
We're going to start on Sega Master System
here. So Sega Master, and this is specifically the FM soundtrack. R-Type has an amazing soundtrack anyway. Everyone who has ever heard me talk about it knows that R-Type is one of my favorite pieces of music ever.
And I'm going to apologize. The audio is going to be a little low. And here in studio, you're not even going to be able to hear it. It is going through on stream. I can see the bars, but it is a little lower than usual. Sorry, that was just a my bad in the production. But you should be able to hear it if you listen carefully.
Well, at any rate, the music, at least for the arcade game, was done by Ishizaki Masato. And I don't know if he did the SMS version. But the Sega Master System version, and I've brought up the FM sound unit before, but with the FM sound unit, what it does is it enhances the sound output from certain of the Sega Mark III games. It was a separate unit that was sold in Japan starting around 1987 for about 6,800 yen, and it used a YM2413 FM chip that would work on top of the built-in SN76489 PSG chip. So it added 9 extra mono sound channels. So, of course, you could get near, at the time, arcade-quality music out of the Sega Master System. You know, and it just, it supported, you know, a good number of games, too, including R-Type. And so the music, you know, if... And I'll add this on here. You can get an FM power base converter if you've got a Sega Master System that will also give you the FM output for this game. But it's just, like, super amazing. And then, and I'm not going to go into the gameplay of R-Type because I've talked about R-Type ad nauseum. But the music, I think for the type of game it was really unique. You know, where you had your Gradius music that was all kind of upbeat and heroic. You had this dark, gritty music that was mostly all in a minor key. And then when you beat your level, it goes into a major key and then goes right back into a minor key. It really added to the excitement of the game, especially those boss battles, the do-do-do-do-do-do, you know? Now, to add in another one that I was surprisingly happy with, and you may be pleased with this, Commodore 64 version of the music.
And we actually have some B-roll of that.
And it, I don't think it's as great as the Sega Master System version, clearly, but the instrumentation on this one with what the Commodore 64 could do was really good.
Yeah, if you were a fan of the SID chip on the 64, this is really good use of it. Like, obviously, see, now I am more partial to this one, but that's because I grew up with C64. I love C64 music. So both Dark Soccer and I have these admitted biases tonight.
Well, and I didn't grow up with the Master System.
Yeah, but you became a Sega fan later, you know.
Yeah, but at any rate, though, I have to say that I had not given this version much thought, even though I know play-wise, it's a pretty good version of R-Type.
It's an impressive fucking feat for the Commodore 64 as well. Like, I don't think you see it in this, like, early levels, but in some of the later levels when the background starts drawing in and, oh, here
right
we go.
There we go.
So on the Twitch stream, you can actually see the backgrounds drawing in and it's kind of, like, moving at its own pace. Like, this is impressive
for 8-bit?
An early 80s computer.
And this was an 8-bit computer, if I recall, technically.
Yeah.
So
the 64, yeah. I mean, later on, you had the 128, and you know, ways to try to up that, but nothing ever matched the 64.
Right. And so I really, really, and I was just sitting down listening to the music, and I was like, damn, this is actually pretty good. So I figured that I would add this one in as well. Because it's the same game,
yeah.
But each of them showcase what their systems can do.
And I think because the Commodore 64 had its own chip with its own limitations, it was kind of a regular thing. This is not the only game that had like its own, like it had like an independent soundtrack for the Commodore 64 version. The other big example I think of, which I think I picked as a classic game of the week, one of the weeks you weren't here about a year ago, Bomb Jack is mm-hmm. a great example of that. Is that, you know, Bomb Jack had his own little song in the arcade and in some of the translations, but for the Commodore 64 version, they took an actual like 80s synth neo wave song and like made it on the Commodore 64 version. That do 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 that whole thing. That was actually an 80s song that they kind of made the Bomb Jack song on 64. It was really cool.
And for the record, I'm not including the PC Engine version, which was switched between two HU cards, because it, while it is technically still an 8-bit system, it was the hybrid 8 and 16-bit system.
Yes, and so you're trying to keep your spotlight pure this week.
This year. Yeah. Next,
this level impressed me that we're looking at on Twitch.
Right?
On
it looks 64. Perfect.
See how it looks so good with the, I mean, and again,
the scrolling in this
1982, 1983 technology. You've got the two levels of scrolling.
Well, and look at your other computers that were out at the time, like the ZX, which was garbage. And the Amstrad, garbage. You know, all those versions were pretty shit. You are dealing with, as I think, as close to arcade perfect as the Commodore 64 could possibly get. Home computer could possibly get. And then, of course, you know, the Master System was fairly perfect because Sega just had that.
And let's flip
They did great shooters.
Let's flip back to the Master System and kind of end on that note.
Okay. And I honestly, though, I think this is the closest to arcade perfect that you could get at the time, you know, because you've got multiple layers of parallax and everything, but it goes back to the music. Both of them have a stellar version of that arcade soundtrack, and I am absolutely, I sat and listened to the Master System soundtrack and then played the soundtrack for the Commodore, and then played the arcade soundtrack. I listened to the R-Type soundtracks 3 different times preparing for this because I fucking love the music in R-Type so much. The first level music is my favorite. It's probably up there for my favorite. It's up there with Fantasy Zone for some of my favorite first level music. So, R-Type, bitches.
All right, there it is, your classic soundtrack of the month. R-Type for the Sega Master System, but a little garnish of the Commodore version as well.
And I was going to mention, if you love R-Type, guess what? The R-Type Final 2 Kickstarter is kicking off on June 3rd.
Take all my money. I don't know, though. R-Type Delta kind of screwed me over.
R-TypeFinal2.com.
All right. Awesome. There it is, your classic soundtrack of the month. You know, speaking of soundtracks, So I was listening to a gaming soundtrack as I was driving home last night. I was in San Jose for the day for yet another Ingress thing, but I find really good ways to like make these Ingress things about also visiting people. So I also visited, you know, Mel and some of my other friends over there in San Jose. But as I was driving home, I made the mistake of listening to the Wangan Midnight Tune 5 soundtrack by Yuzo Koshiro because it's on Spotify. They didn't have the older ones, or at least I couldn't find them, but 5 was there. I was like, oh, I haven't heard 5 yet. And I started listening to that as I was driving home. Bad idea, because like I'm night driving to those soundtracks. Guess how fast I was going down the freeway in my little Prius?
90.
88. Which for a Prius is pretty fast.
So when that Prius hits 88 miles an hour, you're going to see some
it
shit.
It catches on fire.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I had to like actually stop myself. Go, well, I wasn't doing it for very long. You know, I was just like, I was like jamming along, and then I looked at the speedometer, you know, and I, oop, you know, to like slow down. So anyway, YYR in chat says, hell yeah. Wangan Midnight Maximum Tune soundtrack is the
remember
real deal.
Remember that drive we made to Disneyland?
Oh my God. Oh, on the I-5 going to LA.
When I was being a little shit.
You could do like 100 and get away with it.
Well, but that was me driving my Lancer. Remember the Lancer?
Oh, yeah. I do.
The little silver demon.
I do.
Listening to Wangan and DDR stuff.
I remember one time I drove your car because, and somebody else was with us. Like it was, I want to say it was like Wendell or something was with us. I feel like we were, because we went, or was it Shane? No, it was Shane.
It was Shane.
Because, but I thought it went up because it was like a DDR. It was a DDR related thing we were doing. Mm-hmm. We went from the Bay Area all the way down 101 because there was snow on the Grapevine.
That was right. We were going. Was it Disneyland? It was a Disneyland trip.
Was I thought it was a DDR related thing. Why did I
thought it was a Disneyland trip.
DDR.
You going to Arcade Infinity?
Whatever. It might have been Arcade Infinity trip
for the close. And it wasn't. We weren't there for the closing of Arcade Infinity. But I thought. I thought for sure we were there for a Disneyland thing because we cannot go to LA without Disneyland.
Well, especially during that. Now it's too expensive. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But at that time when Disneyland was more affordable, like it was just funny to say Disneyland used to be affordable. I mean, it was always a luxury, but you know, this was before Cars Land, before all the remodel. So the price.
This is when California Adventure was actually California themed.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Anyway. Let's take a break. We're going to take a break here in studio, but we have a little pre-recorded segment for you guys that has to do with, funny enough, Dark Sakura brought up the ZX Spectrum from overseas. She was not a fan of the system, and I will admit.
But I want one.
Compared to the Commodore 64, it wasn't that great, but it was a big deal in Europe. And if you haven't played a lot of ZX Spectrum games, there is a new service out there that allows you to play not just those games, but some Commodore games as well, and Neo Geo games. It's a service called Antstream, and it's in early access right now. And I'm a Kickstarter backer and had access to the early access. So I thought we could take a look at Antstream tonight. So let's get to it. Okay, so for our studio break this week, I thought we could take a look at Antstream. We've been talking about it the past couple weeks on the show as their Kickstarter campaign had kind of kicked off and then subsequently wrapped up. And for those that don't remember, Antstream is that kind of like a retro Netflix, if you will, that's available on a variety of platforms, including PC, which is what we're looking at tonight, as well as Xbox One. I know there's some Android-related devices. I think they plan to come out on PlayStation 4 as well. There's a lot. There's plenty. More is available on their site, and they have a variety of older games that are available on the service. Right now, I think there's around 200. I know they have a game list online, and you can see here as we're actually in the client, and I can kind of poke around here and actually show you, okay, yeah, there's all these different categories that are available, which is interesting because the categories seem to be a little bit random, kind of like what Netflix does. If you've used Netflix before, it'll show you these very like kind of like obscure categories sometimes. Not that I would call a category like Spectrum games obscure, but it does seem like the client right now kind of mixes up the different types of games that you will see. Now, it should be stressed that what we're looking at right now is early access. This is a very early version of Antstream. It's only available to Kickstarter backers of a certain level, which obviously since I'm in here, disclosure, I'm one of those backers. But I was always, you know, and I've mentioned this on the show, I was kind of excited that somebody has kind of taken the idea of retro gaming with leaderboards and things of that nature and these challenges, you know, which I'll get into in a minute, kind of reminding me of a little bit of like what GameTap used to be a long time ago. The other interesting thing about Antstream is that it's kind of like Google Stadia, I guess, if you will, where you're not actually downloading the ROMs. You're actually kind of streaming this instance running on another computer up in the cloud, you know, somewhere at Antstream headquarters or wherever their server farm is. But unlike Stadia, which is meant to play state-of-the-art games, because we're looking at retro games here, we're not really talking about the same type of, you know, bandwidth requirements and things of that nature. So let me actually get in here and play a game already. You can either, like, find a game on the list, so maybe I can go down to something I recently played. We could take a look at Monty on the Run. This is kind of a, for a lot of people, this is really obscure. This is a Commodore 64 game, but you'll notice it's in my list twice because they have it on Commodore 64 and Spectrum. But this game had a real kick-ass soundtrack, which is one of the reasons why I like it. So you will notice it does take a little bit to load, and I wonder if potentially the Google outages that happened today in the news are maybe affecting this a little bit. I don't know. But you'll notice when you launch the game, you also get an overview of what the gamepad does. I am using a 360 controller, so they did take a lot of the old keyboard games from Commodore 64 or, you know, think games that had single fire buttons or maybe perhaps used complex layouts on the keyboard and kind of made them work and went in and made them all work with gamepads and stuff. So let's actually get in there and play. So this is, you know, again, these are older games, so they're not going to look like newer stuff. But, you know, without these classic older games, we wouldn't have the same stuff that we have today. So this is a little bit, this is a very simple game. It's like a platformer, but you have a jump button and you move around. And you'll notice, you know, it does look pretty good, especially because it is an older game. It probably doesn't need that same type. That's a thing. Oh, no, I got smushed. Because it is an older game, it doesn't have the complex colors. Let me move my mouse cursor out of the way. But you'll notice it still has that sweet soundtrack like it had back in the day. Ah! I'm not very good at this game. I used to be better at this when I was a kid. Boy, those plungers make a pretty hideous noise, don't they? Let's see if I can... Alright, clearly I'm terrible at this, but that's alright, you get the idea. And it does have a pretty sweet soundtrack when you don't have all those plunger noises in the background competing for that, but that's a little bit about what that looks like. So let me actually pick a different game this time. So we're going to quit out, and this time we're going to go in and let's take a look at maybe something a little newer. Like Fatal Fury, right? So there's a few SNK Neo Geo games that are available in here. Let's take a look at this. Let's load this one up. Uh-oh. See, early access. These things are going to happen. I'm not going to worry too much about that. Again, and also there's those internet outages happening today. So I just kind of work around these error messages. They haven't, like, killed my experience yet. Okay, so there we go. So we have a little overview how we can insert credits and start and all that. And then... Ah, yes. And, you know, being that this is a newer Neo Geo game, and some of these games, and I don't even think this is going to come through on the video that you guys are looking at on OLR, but you might see when you did, like, the fade in and fade out, you have a little bit of artifacting, and you might be able to see that as well, like, as the characters move, and you can kind of see it just a little bit up in the clouds. So you do get a little bit of artifacting, but it's really not that bad, and again... I say this disclaimer a million times, early access. Antstream very much appears to be a company that's based over in Europe. So I imagine, you know, a lot of their early access stuff may actually be overseas. I don't know how much they have over here in the U.S. actually streaming. So, but otherwise, you know, it's kind of the game that you remember, Fatal Fury. Of course, in the first Fatal Fury game, you could only pick one of three characters. You can pick everybody. But I seem to remember Andy Bogard is pretty awesome. Let's see, and then I can pick who I want to fight, which obviously I want to fight Duck King. So let's see. I should play. The sound comes through pretty good. We see some of that artifacting pretty bad in that transition there. Wow, and I am not as good at this game as I used to be. Wow, I should have just named this segment Watch Rob Be Bad at Old Games, because that's exactly what's happening today. Antstream, keeping me humble in 2019. Let's see if I can at least win one round. I also can't remember how to do Andy's special moves. It's been a little while. Was it back, forward, charge? Back, forward, A? Well, this is going swimmingly. There's a guy laughing at me full on in the background there. Barf. You know what? That's about how well it went for me on a Neo Geo arcade machine, too, to be fair. All right. One other thing I want to show with these, which I think is pretty cool, something that they have built into Antstream that I think is kind of unique. Let me quit out here. So you'll notice that in Antstream, I have these little gems up here at the top. So you can use these gems. They're not, and it's not, and they're very explicit to point this out. Gems are not like some type of premium currency that you're paying additional money on top of the anticipated monthly fee to have. You actually earn these gems through different challenges that are in the game. So if I actually go back, and there's a whole section that actually has challenges. Fatal Fury is one of them, but that didn't go so well for me. Let me try something else. Ooh, how about Super Dodgeball? Come on, this game was awesome. Not that I'm going to do very well at this either, but we can go in here and you'll notice there are some challenges in here. So there's a challenge to be like the last man standing. It says survive as long as possible with one team member. You notice that's rated like a 1. And then we go up to like a level 2. Take out the opposing team as fast as possible. And then you can go up a little harder as well. So knock down as many of the opposing team as you can before any of your team gets taken out. And you can pay 50 gems to unlock that. So the gems are kind of a currency that's used to progress within the challenge system, which is kind of neat. So to show you what a challenge might look like, let's bring up this last man standing. and you'll notice I could challenge a friend. The social stuff, again, since we are in early access, the social stuff doesn't seem to be built out yet, so I can't throw Bobby Blackwolf a challenge for him to ignore or anything like that just yet, but I imagine that's going to come in some of the updates up over the next month or so until I think they plan to launch full over the summer. Don't quote me on that, but that's probably their plan. So let's play this one solo. And okay, so pass dodge is B on the Xbox controller, throw catch is play. But you'll notice about the challenge, it's gonna just kind of start me off right in there, which is kind of neat. So all right, 3, 2, 1, go. So all right, woohoo! I knocked a guy down. Now I gotta be careful, be careful. I don't want to get killed. Oh no. Okay, pant. Pick up the ball. Let's go. Did I just... Oops. I meant to jump, and I just passed the ball. I took out a guy on the side. It has been way too long since... Okay, double tap is how you run. I knew there's a way to do it. I need to quit throwing the ball at them. Come on. There we go. You can... Ah! Oh, no, I died. All right. Oh, wait, no, I'm not dead. Okay, I just flashed for a minute. I thought that was it. Okay, all right. All right, we're almost up to surviving a whole minute. Oh. All right, at least this is going better than the last one. All right, let's see if I can... There we go. Got one of the little guys. Ah. Oh, I heard the little splat. Blah. All right, so I lasted... A little over a minute, but you'll notice it all kind of triggered within there. I got it. Oh, okay, so I got 69 seconds, and that was enough for me to get a bronze medal, and I got 50 XP, so I'm getting closer to leveling up my little character, my online persona, I guess, and I got a few gems for that, so that's pretty cool. And then you can actually see, like, you know, okay, so I got a bronze, and let's see, I could retry if I wanted. I think, yeah, it shows you, okay, if I wanted to get a silver medal, I needed to go for 75 seconds. And then I think you can actually look at the scores. I'm not sure how well this is implemented yet. Okay, so these are real people, I'm pretty sure. So you can see, I think this is like a high score leaderboard. And you can also look at, you know, similar games and things like that. So anyway, I think, you know, I showed you challenges. I showed you like an older game on the Commodore 64 and how that looks. I showed you a newer game on the Neo Geo and how that looks. So Antstream is progressing along very nicely. You know, I'm hoping in a couple months, when they've had a little more time to work on it and get some of the feedback for some of their testing, maybe some of those things like the slight artifacting we were seeing in some of the newer games, maybe that'll be addressed a little bit. Although I think it still looks, you know, it's certainly playable. And then maybe some of the like game discoverability features and the social features will be built in. But so far, so good. I'm enjoying this. I think, you know, again, some of these extra things that are built into it, like the challenges and leaderboards and things like that, make it a little more than just, you know, oh, we're just unloading all these games on you, dumping all these games on you for a monthly fee. I like that they're kind of taking it a step further and maybe making something a little more social about it, because... we here at Orange Lounge Radio, we love our old games, and it's something we can be very social and talk about a lot. So on that note, we're going to take it back to the studio live. Welcome back, everybody, live here on June the 2nd of 2019 with episode 778 of our show. And thank you, me, for that little pre-recorded segment on Antstream. And that was your first time. I know, Jamie, you ran out. You probably didn't see all that, but you saw some of that. What'd you think?
Looks neat.
Yeah, it's kind of neat, right?
Yeah.
And what's funny, I'm looking at some of the comments in chat. YYR says, the combat tribes, or whatever you say, is not similar to Super Dodgeball. I'm pretty sure they're using some type of algorithm, and it's probably like, oh, people were checking out this Neo Geo game, so they were also playing this other.
Or maybe just like genre and system or something like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is still being refined. Again, I chalk a lot of the issues up to just the early access umbrella, but I like what I see so far, and I think it's also very cool that you know, I was playing it on PC, but it's on Xbox One right now as well. It's on Android. I think because Apple's a little harder with early access. I think they plan to be there, but they're not there right now. And then they will be on PlayStation 4. I think it was one of their stretch goals. So it's kind of neat. And I guess, you know, if you have like progress or, you know, the gems on, it carries with you from place to place.
Cool.
That's kind of neat. So anyway, we'll be keeping an eye on Antstream as it develops. I have at least a year paid for, so I'll be having it for a while. But It's a great way to experience the old Commodore 64.
Does your year start now, or does it start when the service actually launches?
Funny enough, somebody asked that on the Discord recently, and they say it looks like it starts now because that's how we had to enable all your accounts. But when we officially launch, we'll reset the clock as of the day of the official launch. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I think I actually ponied up for 2 years. So I'm very much a big backer of AntStream, and you guys told me about this too. I had no idea this was a thing until somebody at Orange Lounge Radio brought it to my attention. So, and that was via our Discord server. So thank you to the folks over at our Discord, vognetwork.com or vognetwork.com/Discord. And you can join and you can tell me these things I should be paying attention to. I had not given to a Kickstarter in a very long time until I gave to this one. But I felt this one, they were kind of showing that they already had kind of a lot of the infrastructure there. This was just to kind of push them out of the gate for launch and kind of help propel them there. And that's why I did it. I wasn't worried about losing money or having to wait years and years and years. I mean, hello, I was a Kickstarter backer for Bloodstained like 5 years ago, you know, and take the time to get it right. Except I get it, but you know, it's a long time.
Hope it is right when it comes out. Just saying. Right?
Yeah, and hope it's okay. So anyway, Bobby says they are very receptive to feedback. They seem like good people. They have their own Discord, and they've been very active on there. The people that are developing it, as well as their community manager, and they're very, very – and because it's based over in Europe, they had a whole channel dedicated to Eurovision, which I could appreciate. So I thought it was really cool. Anyway, let's move on with the show. We got more stuff to talk about, including some rapid-fire news. So let's get to it.
Let's talk about those free games that you get with those paid subscriptions. So starting with the Xbox side of the house, June's Games with Gold. On Xbox One, you're going to be getting EA Sports NHL 19. That's for the entire month of June. And then starting at the halfway point, Rivals of the Aether, that's going to be from June 16th through the 15th. Your Xbox 360 compatible games with Xbox One. Portal's Still Alive for the first half of June from the 1st to the 15th. And this is awesome because it's your second month in a row that you get another Earth Defense Force title. So Earth Defense Force 2017, which is definitely better than Insect Armageddon. Maybe not technically better, but it is a better game. That'll be from June 16th through the 30th. Then, of course, on the Sony side of the house, PlayStation Plus, you're going to be getting Sonic Mania and Borderlands The Handsome Collection for the month of June. And then we've got some other Sony games, or previously Sony games. So, you know, that there's been some of these exclusives that have been released on the Epic Game Store. Well, now that game company's Journey is going to be heading to PC exclusive to the Epic Game Store on June 6th. So if you want to check that on PC, I'm sure that'll look amazing.
Interesting that particular title went exclusive to Epic Store.
I think they have Flower on there already.
I guess – I think you're right. I think you are right. So it's just kind of interesting. So anyway, moving on with some other news about games coming to other places. Time Spinner, that is a Metroidvania type of game that was pretty well received when it came out on the PlayStation 4 and PC. Well, guess what? It's also coming out on the Switch and the Xbox One. So this game came out last year, but now the Xbox One and the Switch get their crack at it on June 4th. And obviously with the Switch version, it'll be a way for you to take it with you on the go wherever you want. Doesn't sound like there's any new exclusive content or anything like that, but still pretty cool. And by the way, if you weren't already aware, we interviewed the developer of Time Spinner on Orange Lounge Radio. And thank you, Dr. Tetsuya, dug up the episode number 571. So if you want to go back in the archives to episode 571, we actually – and this was when, long before the game was out, when it was still in development. So it was kind of fun to talk to him then. Also, in Rapid Fire News tonight, talking about a new type of MAME cabinet, kind of in line with those like arcade 1-Up machines that I was in a Fry's randomly this weekend, and they have a bunch of them on display there. I think Walmart's – some of them show like what they put it in a glass case because kids at Walmart will beat the shit out of those things, I'm sure. But I think they put it in a big glass case so you can kind of see it. But the ones at Fry's, you can just kind of like walk up and play. They look pretty good. Well, this seems to be another – it's not an arcade one-up. It's just similar to that. Think of that. It's called the Legends Ultimate. It is an all-in-one cabinet, and it's supposed to be starting in July. $599 for a full-sized 66-inch cabinet, or $399 for a compact 44-inch version of the cabinet. But this game is supposed to have between, this is a big window, but 200 to 400 included games. 350 are kind of shown on artwork. I will say one of those games is Tron. So, you know, that got my attention. If you want to show 350 games, a good way to get something to jump out at me is to include
They also
Tron.
Had Fix-It Felix Jr.
I thought that was interesting. Fix-It Felix is one of the games.
So is that like by the same company that does those little mini arcade things then? Because didn't they get the...
I don't think they have the exclusive rights to that, though. I think
was that like a MAME ROM that they made for
you're
Fix-It?
Talking about. You know what? It's funny, and I can put this on. Keep talking because I have one of these.
Yeah, it's just because I remember them, you know, making the mini cabinet for that. So I was just wondering if it's the same company that's behind that that's doing this larger one. I mean, it seems like the natural progression of things.
I don't think so.
It's probably the same ROM, though.
I mean, this one's been going around for a few things. I think the one at Disneyland was the same one.
That one is by a company called Basic Fun, and this machine is being put together by a company called At Games.
But I still think that it's still compiling off the same ROM data.
Oh, probably. I'm sure. And they probably just pay a licensing fee to the company that made it and go from there. But anyway, just kind of interesting how I guess these arcade 1-Up cabinets are doing well enough where other kind of competitors are getting in the business. And, you know, I'm sure for people's home game rooms and for parties and things like that. I went to a wedding that had a little mini Street Fighter 2 cabinet because it was two nerds getting married. And the wedding party loved it. So I think they're fun for those types of events. So I'm sure we'll see more like this. It's just funny that we have one that's all in one, whereas a lot of these arcade 1-Up machines have been like one, two, or three games, kind of like the Mortal Kombat one I've had my eye on is Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3. So anyway, Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
Oh, some stuff. Detective Pikachu is coming out on the Switch. It is, I think, the same one that was on the 3DS, just touched up, so look for it. And then... for other people who like D&D titles, we are getting enhanced versions of Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2, Baldur's Gate Siege of Dragonspear, Icewind Dale, Planescape Torment, and Neverwinter Nights for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch in the fall. Looks like that in North America, the physical editions of the Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition will come out on December 3rd. And December 6th elsewhere in the world, while all the other ones are coming out September 24th in North America and September 27th elsewhere for $50 a pop.
That's a big unleashing of the D&D games kind of all at once, but that's pretty cool.
I'm actually really wanting to play Planescape Torment because I haven't played that in an age. I'm a big fan of the Planescape world.
Yeah, funny enough, you just spotlighted like an old D&D game as Classic Game of the Week not that long, like less than a month ago. So
yeah, I think I did... and I didn't do Ruins of Mythdrenor. I did one of the other ones in that series.
You did the one that was also on NES. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
anyway, all right, cool. So that's our rapid fire news tonight. Let's move on to some world release dates and talk about some games that are coming out around the world, and then we'll get to the mailbag if we have anything. I'm not sure we do. So
we have a little bit,
just a little bit. All right. So first off, though, world release dates.
Not a lot of things coming out this week. We've got Kododama. This Evan Mysteries Fujisawa. That's coming out on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Persona Q2, the new Cinema Labyrinth on 3DS. The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 2 on the PlayStation 4. Warhammer Chaos Bane on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Slay the Spire on Nintendo Switch. And finally, Octopath Traveler on PC.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of people excited to play that, but until they heard it was a full price game still. But I don't know. I think it'll still be worth it for many people. Traveling over to Japan, checking out the releases on the PlayStation 4 this week. It's a little bit lighter, probably with E3 on the horizon and the summer and all that. But we still have a few things this week, including Rage 2 gets its Japanese release this week on June the 6th. And then on June the 7th, new Mina no Golf VR. So a golfing VR game is out on the PlayStation 4 this week. Heading over to the Switch. On the Switch this week is... nothing. They get a price reduction on FIFA 19, but that's it. The Switch is otherwise quiet. There's a Doraemon game next week, but that's about it. So a relatively quiet week in Japan. Dar Sakura, how about the UK?
We have on the third three different games, we have Elder Scrolls Online Elsewhere. We have Persona Q2 New Cinema Labyrinth and Warhammer Chaos Bane. On the fifth, we have MotoGP 19. On the sixth, we have Home Sweet Home for PlayStation. And we have The Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 2 for PlayStation.
All right. Let's get to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails. And we'd like to read some of our favorite emails here on the show. So, Dark Sakura, I don't know how many we have tonight.
One.
Just one. Okay.
Spam. It has been quite a while since I participated in the show. I am much older than I was when I started listening to OLR, so Sunday night live shows are too late for old me to stay up for and go to work Mondays.
You have to remember, the East Coasters, it's 3 hours ahead over this. Show goes till midnight on the East Coast, so it's a little harder for them.
I admit I have no question or reason to write in. I just wanted to say thank you. I have communicated with each of you outside the show for various reasons. You are just real people at the end of it all. My life has bounced back for the horrible year of 2013. This is good. I remarried, have been enjoying the little things like travel and spending time at camp on weekends. My daughter graduated college 2 years ago, oh my God, and is getting married this November. I won't say how old she was when I started listening, but you get the idea. I can't say thank you enough for everything you do. One day I would like to meet you all in person. Have a great show. And that's Name and Lights.
You're so welcome. Thank you. I knew who this was the minute you say. So did I think of his real name? Because I get the Facebook messages.
Yeah,
so.
I remember the real name more than
I remember the real name more than
so
I do the online name.
So I had to think about it. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The minute he talked about his bad year, I knew who that was. So
I remember just talking with him when all of that went down. Yep. It was just so terrible.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us through the thick and the thin. And glad to hear things are a lot better for you now. It's great. I think all of us, and we've talked about it here on OLR, we've all had rough years. You know, we've all had low points. And, you know, you're right. We are real people. You know, we play as many games as we can between our day jobs and all that. But at the end of the day, we're real people. And we're so happy that you guys, you know, come out here and participate with our show and, you know, kind of join us on these Sunday evenings. So,
Rob.
Yeah, what?
Is that a still shrink-wrapped DDR Extreme 2 for PS2?
Yes. Why?
I just looked over and I wasn't expecting to see it.
There's also a shrink-wrapped version of Keurig Revolution Country over
we
there.
We have a few. Well, you could guess why that's still shrink-wrapped.
Because it's garbage, but yeah.
Yeah, we just... here's the thing. So that was... Somebody got me that because they were given it as like a promo or something.
That might have been me.
It might have been. I think it might have been. And he was like, Rob likes DDR. He'd like that. But by that time, my PlayStation 2 was already up and away in favor of my PlayStation 3, which wasn't backwards compatible. So, yeah, I'd still have that kind of relic there. But you know what? That's somebody's going to want that dance pad that's in there because it's going to work great. So,
I still have two Xbox dance or Xbox 360 dance pads. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the chats are like, what the hell? It's still sealed? Yeah, that's still sealed. And yeah, the Karaoke Revolution Country.
And that one has a microphone in it.
But let's be real. We all know why I never opened that.
You don't like singing the country. I don't
know. Oh, my ex is
live
in Shania
Twain?
Texas.
Cause that's the only, that don't impress me much. That's God, all I know.
I only know, like, old country.
We don't play.
And Fancy. Does it have Reba Fancy? Cause that's
dude, if it's got Reba, that's worth playing.
That's true.
Well, now we have to find out.
Does it have? I'm open
does
to that
it
shit.
Have,
I'm open to that shit right, right now if it's got Reba.
Does it have Randy Travis on there?
I don't know. I don't know the actual artists on these, but because it just has the names. But let's see here.
But Fancy. Is Fancy there?
Better have Fancy.
That's
the only reason to own that game.
Or Dolly. Is Dolly considered country enough?
Yeah, Dolly's still country.
Mm.
Code of Many Colors, 9 to 5.
Or Jolene.
Oh, Jolene.
I would sing Jolene.
I think
too.
This is just like kind of
give me
the
that.
Top 40 crap.
Give me that.
What was cool then?
9 to 5 is like the first song on the list, so it's got Dolly. So there is that. Let's see. It's Chattahoochee.
Out of Chattahoochee.
I know
that
song
was
too.
When I was still having to go to Dothan for the summer and being subjected to all that.
Friends in Low Places.
That is a good song.
No Fancy, though, because this is alphabetical. So Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. Wasn't that Stand By Your Man?
Stand By Your Man. I only know that one from the Blues Brothers.
This episode of OLR brought to you by...
Derailed by Konami.
Anyway, here you go, Pikachu. Why don't you that little product placement there right in your arms. Thank you.
All right. Pika, what?
Okay. Dark Tissue says, Karaoke Revolution Country stream when? Okay, there's so many problems with that because A, I don't even have a working PlayStation 2 anywhere anymore. B, they don't use, do PlayStation 2s have HDMI? I think they only had component.
They only have component. But I've got converters.
I do have a first model PS2 that is still in perfect working order. And I have a Japanese one that's still in perfect working order.
But I only have an HDMI capture card. So if it doesn't output HDMI, I can't do it.
I've got converters.
Okay.
I'm worried about input lag.
You can split the component cable and then capture off of the direct.
I still have your capture.
Yes, the capture card will do it.
And a CRT monitor.
And that one, but I have a PlayStation 2. I don't know if it reads discs anymore.
Okay, I'm just going to say, I don't want to fucking play Karaoke Revolution there you go. Country. Okay?
But it's enhanced for the iToy.
If we're going to hook up a PlayStation 2, that one maybe I'd play the DDR Extreme, or I would play Beatmania 2DX or something. But
honestly, Rock Band is better than Karaoke Revolution, just saying, because the Japanese Karaoke Revolution is a shit to play.
And I bet Rock Band has Fancy.
Fancy is a good song.
Alexa, does Rock Band have Fancy? I probably set off someone's machine at home. Anyway.
Okay, right. Google, turn the lights to 50%.
Stop it. All right.
That's okay. None of the Google servers are working anyway, so you're fine.
I want to know who I fucked up now.
Moving on. All right. Stop messing with people. So that's it for the mailbag. Thank you. So hey, from a very kind email to Karaoke Revolution Country, the tangents are strong this week on OLR. But we still have some more video game news to get to before we get to your calls on our Discord server.
To answer your question, I believe Fancy was part of Rock Band 2 DLC.
Perfect.
At least that's a YouTube video that says it was, so I'm going to assume the title's correct.
You know, and that means we can probably import it into Rock Band 4, although the window for that is probably up. But, Jamie, if at all possible, I think we need to do Fancy.
Oh, my God. You did set off two people's Alexa. You set off Act Defs and Brad from Pod Culture. But did I get anybody's Google shit?
Sorry, I wasn't trying to do that, but I think it's really funny.
Hey, Alexa,
No. We're not going to be that show. All right, move on.
I don't think that'd be funny.
Next story.
I didn't trigger Google.
I just got a text, jerk.
From who was that?
From Pod Culture.
Oh.
All right.
I don't know. I was going to have him play Fancy.
play
Fancy is the official new song of OLR.
All right. Moving on.
So, Call of Duty... they made the new announcement for the new Call of Duty, which is just going to be Modern Warfare as opposed to Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. It's a reboot. It's going to be out October 25th. And what do we know about it? Well, they said that they're not going to do an annual pass, that they're going to have free content, maps, and, you know, stuff like that. You know that means loot boxes. That's just going to fucking be full of fucking loot boxes and cause... I'm sure it's full of crap like that. There's no way that they're not going to do something like that. It is going to be cross-play, so you can play between console and PC. No word on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, though. It's in a brand new engine, and there's going to be a single-player campaign, which means I'm going to get it because it has a single-player campaign. And co-op is back. And yeah, so that'll be awesome. I am very excited about it.
And I'm assuming this is going to be a big E3 push.
Oh yeah,
you know, Activision doesn't really participate in E3.
Sony
but...
though has the DLC like timed exclusiveness.
Sony's not doing E3,
right? Yeah, I don't know.
I just imagine news will probably drop E3 week, whether they're there.
Maybe Microsoft will show something.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. So we'll see.
Maybe the Switch gets it this year. Maybe it's one of those 21 games.
No.
Except you can't play with your friends online. Just kidding.
Except it is Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. The original, not remastered, just the original.
So let's be real, Loki. Out of the three of us, you're the only one that would be interested in a game like this. You thinking about picking this one up?
Yeah.
Yep, no question.
It looks good.
Let's move on. Sometimes if you want to make a choice on if you're going to buy a game or not, it might help you to be able to play that game in advance. And that's exactly what Nintendo plans to do with what they're calling a Road Rules style trip.
A reference that nobody that would be the age of playing the Switch would even understand.
Y'all remember that old show Road Rules on MTV? I remember. I auditioned for Road Rules. Can you believe? Oh, God, I shouldn't even say that here on the show. I did. I auditioned for Real World and Road Rules. It was the year – it was Hawaii. It was whatever year that was for Real World. I sent in an audition tape for Real World Hawaii. And I wasn't even out of the closet at that age. Can you imagine what a fucking mess I would have been on that show? Thank God I got a polite rejection letter in the email – or in the mail. Anyway, but Nintendo is going to be doing less reality TV and more getting the Switch out there to play for people. After E3 is all done, it sounds like they're going to kind of take their booth on the road a little bit. So it's going to go on a little tour. It starts in Chicago from June 26th to the 30th at the Navy Pier. And we'll travel around the country, including right here in Sacramento at the California State Fair, July 12th through the 14th. So not the duration of the state fair, but just those few days. I remember, do you remember this? When Rock Band 2 was traveling the country, they were at the state fair, and we went, and we played it. Rock Band 2 at the state fair.
I remember that. Did not play it there, or did I?
It was
the
first game.
I played Rock Band, though. They did a thing that they were in West Sac for some festival, like music festival thing, and they had a Rock Band 2 or Rock Band stage set up, and I remember playing it there.
Well, they'll be going from one VOG Network headquarters to another as they wrap up at the Georgia National Fair in Perry, Georgia. I'm not sure if Perry is an Atlanta suburb.
But what games are going to be there?
The games that are going to be there, Super Mario Maker 2, which is, I mean, it's going to be out by the time the game hits the first stop. But okay, whatever. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Pokemon Let's Go, Super Mario Party, and Splatoon 2. Here's my thought. They probably aren't announcing the ones that they haven't announced at E3 yet. So I wouldn't assume it's going to be limited to this, because especially if it's traveling through October, you better believe there's going to be some holiday stuff in here too. So I would think Animal Crossing, maybe? Depends if it's playable at E3 or not.
Yeah.
But that could be interesting, Dark Sakura. If Animal Crossing is a game that is part of this bus, are we going to have to go to the state fair?
I reckon.
Well, on the plus side, they have a karaoke booth at the state fair, and I can sing Fancy, I reckon.
This is my pained look.
Here's your one chance, Dark Sakura, don't let me down. Here's your one chance.
There's your one chance.
You're letting me down. All right. SSG100 Matt says, go to the fair and do video. I just might.
I just might not.
I just might. All right. Bobby Blackwell says, Perry is a two-hour drive for me. Bummer. Because the state fair is like 10 minutes from here. So.
YYR says to get the deep fried butter.
Oh, God. Didn't we do?
We did deep fried Twinkies at one of our tournaments.
Alan and I went to the state fair randomly one year, and we got deep fried Oreos. And they're not that good. And none of that deep fried stuff is that good. It just tastes like batter.
Do I really want to eat a stick of butter? No.
No.
Our next tournament should be called Sacramento Makes Egregious Gaming.
S-M-E.
G.
Stop it.
Well, we've had scat before.
Yeah, for those that don't know, we had a DDR tournament here that we were all involved in and planning with. It was called Sacramento Cosplay and Tournament.
Yeah. And then what was the next one that we did?
A Shaft.
Shaft.
Sacramento hosts
another fucking tournament.
No, it was another fabulous tournament. But behind the scenes, we were calling it another fucking tournament. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Shaft was fun, though. That's when we had...
Shaft was a great tournament.
It was fun. We had people from everywhere. Shit, we should do that again.
No, we shouldn't. Jamie, we're in our 40s now.
Fuck, I didn't say we're going to participate.
I ain't got time for that.
I didn't say we're going to participate.
All right, moving on.
Anyway, was it my turn?
I could participate in average attack because I'm pretty good at being average.
I'm all right.
Sometimes
that's
passing
what we should
stuff.
Do. We should do like how to be average at DDR. We should call it the mediocre tournament.
All right, it's time
to be the most mediocre.
All right, I'm going to lay down the law with this next story, Dar Sakra.
Yeah. Well, and I was looking at everything, and this one just sort of is weird. So there is a lawsuit by Iron Maiden, or at least their holding company, has filed a $2 million lawsuit against 3D Realms for their game Ion Maiden, claiming that it's using, quote, incredibly blatant, end quote, trademark infringement over so many different things. And it says that the Ion Maiden would cause confusion amongst customers. I mean, it's a video game, so I don't know. But it says that their Ion Maiden name is, of course, very close to Iron Maiden. And it also that the logo looks the same, that its composition looks the same. And also other things that they're using that name to sell merchandise. On top of that, too, is that they named a character after Steve Harris and reworked their logo. And that, you know, it also points out that the band has their own video game, Legacy of the Beast. Yeah, they named a character Shelly Harrison after Steve Harris. And then it has the same type of looking gameplay as their game, Legacy of the Beast. And it uses their yellow bomb emoji. Sorry, shut up, Siri. And so they use their yellow bomb emoji is similar to the Iron Maiden Eddie character who shows up in all of their stuff. So
it sounds like there's a question here, like, is this parody or is this really kind of like making money? I kind of get the sense that Iron Maiden maybe kind of had to file this because, you know, if you don't protect your intellectual property, which Iron Maiden as a band is intellectual, if you don't file to protect it, then you have the possibility of losing it.
Except.
So I don't necessarily think they're being dicks, but.
Except. Stern released Iron Maiden Pinball.
Yeah, but they probably had to license that.
Yeah, but that means that they still have. I mean, basically, their stuff is still protected. It's still registered. They would have had to have renewed any of their licensing to be able to outsource it.
So as folks on Twitch can see, Alan just sat down and joined us because he's doing that thing where he's like, I've got something to say. He can hear the show going on in the other room. I just want to warn you, this mic cable doesn't have a lot of slack on it, so you might have to lean forward a little bit. But what do you want to say?
It'll be brief, and yes, I'm putting away groceries. Something piques my ear, and I'm like, well, I have to give my opinion right now because it is very important. When Dark Sakura first started reading this story, I was like, it's a pun. Calm down. But then as the details kept going out more and more about how, like, they named it after the singer and the icon, like, it definitely sounds like they are, it's beyond just a pun.
They're cashing in.
Yeah, they are making it really, really mistakeable with something that's affiliated with the band. But otherwise, Iron Maiden is funny. That's a great pun.
Yeah.
But they kept it going.
Like, if I was going to do a game called Ion Maiden, I would have it be more like an electric-themed game or something, you know, with a cutesy girl that doesn't look anything Iron Maiden-like.
Now, I made Alan sit back down because if you're going to invade the show like that, then I'm going to ask you some questions, have you talk about other stuff. So besides just Ion Maiden, for your gaming week, I know you picked up a new game because you're a big fan of a gaming series that I used to like a lot. But how was your gaming week? What did you pick up?
It's Overwatch, but you're specifically talking about MK11.
I am. So, MK11, you've been playing it? What do you think?
The story mode's really good. I really like how they are handling the, particularly the female characters compared to how MK9 looked in 2011. But yeah, the story's great. It's, you know, Jennifer, I love Jennifer Hale, you know, Femme Shep forever, but I feel like her voice is so recognizable to me that she just sounds the same, even though I know she's doing different characters. Like, because she's Ash from Overwatch, she's Chronic in MK11, and I'm like, oh, well, that's Jennifer Hale. She's the OG, she's the amazing voice actress in all video games, but I just hear her all the time.
But you noticed who voiced her daughter? Mary Elizabeth McGlynn.
Yes. And Ronda Rousey, who I know is problematic for a bunch of other reasons.
She did a good job.
Yeah. Her, yeah, everyone's like, when Sonya talks, Ronda Rousey. And I'm like, her performance in this video game is not one of the things you should be talking about. She's a great Sonya.
I thought she was great, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. But, you know, all the other crap we will leave to being outside the game, I suppose.
Yes.
So separate the art from the artist, I guess. So. All right, that was really all I wanted to bug you about, since I can't talk about MK11. I thought maybe you'd want to say something. So anything else before I let you go?
It is on your wish list, and I was thinking about getting it for you, but then you'd have to stream it, and you'd be like, ew, it's gross, ew, stop it, and I don't want to waste like $60.
I've already had it threatened. Good old Shane keeps saying, you need to get Five Nights at Freddy's VR. Don't you want to stream Five Nights at Freddy's VR? Like, Five Nights at Freddy's VR would be fun for the following reasons. Okay, so, Rob, I know we haven't talked in a day, but last night I made a list of 20 reasons why you should have Five Nights at Freddy's VR.
Aside from getting you the game, he needs to write, like, a check, like, to the charitable organization of your choice. I will play it for 5 minutes if you give $500 to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And he's like, I'm never doing that. And you're like, well, then I guess we have our answer.
I'm going to remember that one for later.
I'll probably get it. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for crashing the show. Your opinion is always welcome. You know that.
Just because my son wants it, and I almost purchased it today. I'll play it, I guess. I don't really like Five Nights at Freddy's, but my God, he does not stop talking about Five. It's everything that
Kids
comes out of his mouth is Five Nights at Freddy's. He's playing Five Nights at Freddy's Roblox stuff.
I'm telling you, when I did that panel with the voice actors at Dragon Con, like, I was thinking it was going to be people like Shane, like, you know, just like, but no, it was all like 12-year-olds in the audience.
The kids love it.
It could be Fortnite. That's true.
He dabbles in Fortnite, but just mostly the creative mode. But yeah, it's like, it's just, it's all about Five Nights at Freddy's. It's like always just spewing Five Nights at Freddy's facts. And like, you know, I always got that thing from like my wife about how she would say that I talk about games too much. It's like, it's always games, games, games. And it's like, I never thought I would get to the point where I get annoyed about hearing about something from somebody about a similar topic over and over. But here we are. At this point where it's like, I really don't give a shit about Five Nights at Freddy's that I need to hear about this much, about this one game.
But Dad, did you know? Dad, did you know? Did you know? Did you know?
Daddy, I have something to tell you. Okay. You know, in Five Nights at Freddy's, you know, sister location, you can get blah, 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 blah. And in this one, they have a Nightmare Freddy. You can do this and Twisted this. And I'm like, I don't care.
I swear to God. I need to make an overlay for our Twitch thing that, like, takes the sidebar away and puts Tangent Train with a little train going around. Because right now it still says Iron Maiden lawsuit. And how disconnected have we become from that topic at this point? It's just funny.
Incredibly.
Welcome to Orange Lounge Radio, y'all. All right. Moving on. Speaking of things in places where they don't belong, what do we have next?
Yes, we have cars getting more games. So apparently, for some reason, you can port, or you're going to be able to play Cuphead in a Tesla, because that's a neat thing to do, I guess. I'm not sure why you'd want to do that.
Road trip.
But it's only compatible, I guess, with a wired USB controller. So you can't do any touchscreen stuff, but why the hell would you want to in the first place? Sorry, you can't play with the steering wheel. But yeah, so it's neat that you can play a game on it.
And Bobby does point out it only works in park, so it's not for the passenger, which it's probably for the best that these things only work when the car is parked.
Yes. So neat. It's a neat, unnecessary thing.
Can you sit there and play it while you're waiting for the car to charge? Because I imagine the inflow from the chargers far outweighs what it costs to play the game.
Maybe.
It might be a way to kill time while you're waiting. I don't know. So
that might be a neat idea.
Yeah.
Or how about, you know.
Oh, Bobby says it's for the supercharger stops. Yes, that's what it's for. That's what all the Atari games are for. So wow, my mind. It's just like Elon Musk's. Wow.
Maybe we can get Xbox Game Pass or their streaming service or something like that in on that instead.
I think that's a pretty clever idea, though, because, you know, that's the one thing that some people have reservations about the Tesla is that with the big road trips, you have to kind of make the stops, you know, and you might have to stop a little bit longer than you might have to at a gas station to charge the car a decent amount. But, you know, Tesla's thinking of these ways to make that time passing a little more fun, which I still would be I would be interested in a Tesla someday, you know, maybe when my current car gives out, if the price on those things keeps coming down. And as technology gets better and better and the rest of the auto industry is responding, you know, with things like Prius Prime and the other, you know, electrical cars we're seeing out there, I'm just so curious what it's going to look like in just a few more years. So anyhow. All right.
They said, though, it isn't the full version of Cuphead. Apparently, Tesla has some storage limitations, and so only Inkwell Aisle 1 section is available. Well, then you should be able to continue on to, you know, download the next section instead, you know, as you go along.
Yeah. Download each little piece at a
time. You know, maybe expandable memory, expandable storage, because I'm sure that right now...
What is it, Loki? Is it a car or a game console? Come on.
Why not both?
All right. I still like the idea that there's, like, pole position on those cars, but you actually use the steering wheel. I would like to see Mario Kart, but you actually use the steering wheel.
I forgot to mention during game
today, it's probably not technologically possible, but give Tesla another 5 years.
I played the... I did play the beta test for the mobile Mario Kart.
I've heard it's controversial as some of the... microtransactions.
Yeah, it's all right. Okay. I wouldn't play it very long.
Here comes the tangent train. Choo 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 choo.
No, I'm just that's all I got.
What? Well, tell me a little more about it.
So, like, the controls are okay, but yeah, it is pretty heavy on the microtransactions. I played a few races in there. I still don't like the controls. Like, didn't seem that it seemed kind of floaty for me. But I don't know. I don't know if I could see myself playing it for a very long time. It was cool to try out, though.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see when the game releases. Who knows? Anyhow, before we get to our listener roundtable, if you have some questions in our chat room or you want to give us a call via our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/Discord, before we get to that, let's talk about the Contra collection. Because, you know, Konami had that arcade collection not that long ago. They just recently did the Castlevania collection, which I picked up. And some people are looking forward to the Contra collection. And the full list of what will be available in that collection has been announced, including Contra, the arcade version, Super Contra, the arcade version, Super C on the NES, Contra 3 on the Super Nintendo, that was pretty good one, Contra Hardcore on the Sega Genesis, Contra on the NES, Contra on the Famicom, Operation C on the Game Boy, Probotector on the Sega Mega Drive, which is kind of like Contra adjacent, and Super Probotector, Alien Rebels on the Super Nintendo.
They were reskins for Europe.
Ah, gotcha. So that's what those are. So that is all coming out. Let's see. Oh, by the way, they also announced the Japanese games will be included in like a patch that follows a little later on. So there is that as well. That's pretty cool. $20. They haven't dated it yet. I thought they did. So now, could this be hinting at something bigger? And perhaps this is one of those 21 games we're going to learn about next week or a little over a week. A German retailer, NetGames, has posted a new Contra game on Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, all sharing a release date of September 24th, 2019. This is something separate from the collection. So could, after all, Konami had pretty good success when they rebooted Bomberman, could Contra be next on their list? It'll be very interesting to see. So maybe that's something in store for E3. We'll see.
I fully look forward to Contra Act Zero.
You never know. You never know. All right. Yeah. Dark Tetsuya in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I didn't think this listing was for Contra Collection. Yeah. So if this new one is good, I'd be down. Yeah. It's all about what they plan to do with it. That's for sure. So we'll see. So anyway, I'm going to get Discord up here so we can actually take some calls in Discord. And if you have questions in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, you can ask away there as well. While I'm getting set up here, since I'm a couple weeks out of practice, Loki, do we have any last-minute stories, things we want to talk about before we get there?
No.
I thought we had extra stuff we didn't cover.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. New stuff I need to talk about. Okay. Well,
I do one, and then I'll get to a call.
All right, fine. So I did bring up earlier when we were talking about the new R-Type thing. So that was pretty awesome that they're going to have that Kickstarter. What other stuff? Chex Quest, the remaster finally came out. So you can check it out. And they added the third episode. So that's pretty cool. You can actually play that, I think, for free. Where can we download that? Is it chexquest.com or something? I don't know. Yeah, chexmix.com/chexquest, and you can download it and play it.
I'm so excited. I'm going to get right on that. YYR asked, did they announce a developer for the Contra collection? M2 did the Castlevania collection, and that's why it was really good. Hamster did the arcade collection, and that's why it was really bad. I didn't realize they had different developers. I thought M2 was doing them all, but I guess not.
So. One other thing we can talk about. So John Romero made a new Doom mod or super mega wad for the game. So it's called Sigil. And you can go check that out as well. So that's a pretty cool thing. Yeah, you can get that at romerogames.ie/sigil with a 6 instead of a G.
All right. And no, I can't. I tried Googling it, and I don't see who is actually doing that yet. So we'll have to wait and see. So Orange Wright thinks it's got to be M2, though. So yeah, I kind of agree with that. So all right, well, let's get to some calls at vognetwork.com/discord, and we've brought our first person into chat. So let's say hello. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Mel Mayhem. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good. You know, actually, the lineup of your topics was perfect timing because I was planning on talking about retro collections.
Sure, what's on your mind?
As we all probably know very, very well, you know, retro collections have been coming out for ages, at least since the 16-bit generation.
Sure. Super Mario All-Stars was a retro collection of sorts, right?
Exactly. I was wondering, I have a two-part question. Do you have like a particular favorite retro collection? And B, has there been any collections that have not come out yet for whatever reason that you would like to see?
Okay, good questions. A, what is your favorite retro collection thus far? Any answers to that? I would actually say, honestly, even though I just said it, Super Mario All-Stars like set the bar in many ways. Like, yeah. It really, you know, it kind of reskinned those games, and especially like the way Mario 1 kind of looked was really transformed, and it brought, you know, the lost levels, which we all know was Mario 2 in Japan, to us for the first time, and I think was just such a bang up, well done collection. And with as much shit as we give Nintendo on this show for some of their choices, such as the Mario Maker multiplayer, man, when they invest in something like that, like a retro collection, like they do a really good job.
I did like the Mega Man Legacy collection.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, those are pretty good too. Darsakura, you're a big retro gamer. What do you have any retro collections that you're a fan of?
We haven't bought any in so long. I mean, we've got some of the Taito collections. We have, I did just last year grab Salamander Deluxe Pack for the Sega Saturn, so that's a retro collection. I mean, it's really kind of hard for us to pick up any of the newer ones because we either have the original title, or we have another collection that's got it in there. So, you know.
I would say the other standouts that come to my mind before we get to question B, I would say the other standouts in my mind, the Gradius collection on PSP was very well done. And the PSP just in general, you know, we kind of look back on it as, you know, it was in some ways was ahead of its time. There were some really good games on it. Like it had the best version of Final Fantasy IV, although that wasn't a retro collection. But yeah, the Gradius collection on PSP was great. And I would say the Midway Arcade Treasures were pretty good for their time. They had, you remember those, the Midway Arcade Treasures? I think was on the original Xbox, as well as, it might have been on 360, but I think it was the original Xbox, as well as like PlayStation 2. And those were some good collections of, you know, 80s arcade games at the time. You know, Midway put out some really good games back in the day. And, you know, things like Root Beer Tapper and Robotron. And it was this really good collection. I think they had three of those at the end of the day. Because I think the third one was all like racing games. But the first two especially were really, really solid. So, yeah, those are my answers. ActDeft points out in our chat room, the Sega Genesis collections are really great, too. Oh, yeah. I think PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 had that Sega Mega Genesis collection or whatever.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Those are really good. Yeah, that was Sega did a great job with those on console. So, yeah. So then Metal Mayhem's B question was, what's a retro collection you would like to see? That's a pretty good question as well. Loki?
That's a tough one. I don't know. I mean, there's just so much stuff out there. I would like to see maybe like we already got in like a Nintendo collection too with like the NES Classics. So, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I guess if I'd like to see anything, I would love to see like a collection, a new collection of Dreamcast or Sega Saturn games.
I want a PC Engine shooters compilation, like some of the ones we never got in the U.S. And another, actually, the Ginga Densetsu series that came out on PSP in Japan. Mm-hmm. Love to have that come out of here because I think people need to play Sapphire.
How about that second Densetsu collection in the U.S.? I'd like to see that, which, by the way, didn't make our show world tonight, but I believe there was one of those trademark filings that said collection of mana. So that might be one of the 21.
Yeah, there you go.
There, that might be that, you know, I mentioned earlier.
There's
about
your
Square support.
There's Square Enix.
Yeah. So that one could be real. And again, that is a big fucking deal if they
get Seiken 3.
If Seiken 3 is a part of it, which may explain why it's taken a long time to get from the Japanese version to here. If they cut Seiken 3, then my answer is null and void.
But there is a fan translation that has been deemed as free use.
Oh, yeah.
The ROMs already, but even the Japanese text in the graphics have been translated.
I would love to see, and if for them to put out that collection here, I would love them to see add Secret of Evermore. I know that game gets shit on as the Square USA title, but I think there were some great moments in that game that are worth, you know, and it was Jeremy Slay's first composition. So, you know, he went on to do, you know, what, Guild Wars and Elder Scrolls and all that stuff.
What if we had a new Sega Ages Phantasy Star collection?
Ooh.
Or,
ooh, Sega Ages does such good retro stuff.
Well,
too.
I've got the first Phantasy Star Sega Ages one, the Japanese one, and it's pretty beautiful. I mean, we played it with a friend translating it for us, but it was great. Or, I want a Grandia collection. Like, all three Grandia games.
I would like to see, this is going to be a little bit cliche, but I would like to see a Final Fantasy collection on Switch that's 1 through 6. But takes the PSP version of most of those or the Game Boy Advance version of, like, 6. Some of those...
Yeah,
like,
none of that, like, 3D.
Not the 3D stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Or both. ¿Por qué no los dos? Have them both. So, but let me choose if I want to play Final Fantasy IV in 2D or in 3D. I shouldn't... The 3D was okay, but obviously since my memories go back to Final Fantasy II on the Super Nintendo... Right? That's just how that game's always going to be for me.
I was just still tickled we got, you know, that Castlevania collection with Rondo of Blood and everything.
Yeah.
Because fucking Rondo of Blood is probably the best. Well, I will say Symphony of the Night or Nocturne in the Moonlight is probably one of the best Castlevania games ever. But Rondo was fucking badass.
Yeah.
With the multiple paths and everything.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. So Metal Mayhem, before I let you go, what retro collection would you like to see?
Well, I think it's been done on the PS2 already, but unfortunately, I never got it. So I'm gonna say, Samurai Showdown Collection for PC. I know that Samurai Showdown 2 and 5 are available on both Steam and GOG. Running those two games are great. But my personal favorite is 4, because I sunk entire paychecks into Samurai Showdown 4 while I was in college way back in the day. I have not been able to play in that game since. And I know if you want to go the shady route, you can illegally download the ROM, but don't want to go down that route. I want to support SNK,
Hey, Dark Tetsuya's got some good news for you. There is a Samurai Showdown Neo Geo collection that's happening on the Switch this fall.
Well, that's great if you own a Switch, but I don't know the Switch, so.
Well, a lot of those show up on PC, so you might get lucky. You might get lucky. So, all right. Well, Metal Mayhem, we're going to let you go so we can get some more calls. But thank you. It was a good question tonight, and we'll see you next time.
Have a good one.
You too, buddy. Take care. All right, let's get to another call. Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ACDeft.
Hey, ACDeft. It's good to hear from you, buddy. What's up?
Well, I want to talk about the Pokemon conference that happened this week.
Yeah, I've been kind of a little bit out of the loop on Pokemon, so I'd love to hear your thoughts. I mean, obviously Pokemon Sleep was a thing, but what were your thoughts on it?
Well, yeah, Pokemon Sleep was probably, like, not necessarily the biggest, but the most interesting of all the announcements they made, especially because it seems kind of weird for Niantic in this case, and also Pokemon Company and Nintendo to focus on that. But if we look like to the Vitality Sensor and other stuff that Nintendo has tried to do with health and all that stuff in the past, it's something like, okay, I can see it work. Again, not necessarily something that most people will be like really excited about, but me personally, I'm really like interested in it and how it works and probably how can it benefit or how can it help for our health. But yeah, aside that, we also had some really great and big announcements too. Like, you already talked about Detective Pikachu on Switch, and it's something like, okay, since I didn't get the 3DS version, I'm really excited to get that on Switch. I heard it's not the greatest game or the most difficult, but it seems like if you like the movie, if you like the story, and you want to like explore a little bit more of the lore, it seems like a good option. But also, like, Pokemon making its way to China, it's like a really big deal.
That is a very big deal. You're right. It's a heck of a thing to overlook. But obviously, that's something that's not going to impact this market. But sure, as Pokemon on a global scale, Pokemon coming to China is a huge deal.
Yeah, and necessarily not the biggest game. Like, it's Pokemon Quest, and it isn't that great of a game. But at least for like making its way, like Pokemon making like its official appearance at least in China, it's gonna be huge, I think, and hopefully it will work, and maybe the market there will expand like a lot, because I think currently you cannot play Pokemon Go in China, so it's like,
no,
maybe that will change in the future, but yeah.
I don't even know if Ingress is a thing in China. I think it does exist, but I don't even know I think actually there is Ingress and stops and things like that. So it's the infrastructure set up for it with all the stops and the spawns. But I don't know if it's actually there or if it's firewalled out or what. So be interesting to see what develops with that for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be like really, really great to see. And again, hopefully it will work for Pokemon Company on China, but the future will tell. Other thing, Pokemon Home, that's gonna be like, I'm really excited about that actually. Like, it's probably like the thing that most people like are really like hyped about.
Yeah.
And basically, and you already talked about it, but I'm gonna try to explain it like briefly. It's basically you can transfer any Pokemon to the cloud from your 3DS, like the virtual console games and the sixth generation, seventh generation, also from Pokemon Let's Go, Pokemon Go even. Like, it's going to be awesome that you can transfer all to the cloud and you can move them to Pokemon Sword and Shield. And that's going to be like really, really, really great, because like it's really a hassle for those who want to complete the Pokédex. Like, in this case, it's going to be like over 900 Pokemon at this point. So it's like, yeah, like having like your Pokemon from like spare Pokemon from Pokemon Go, and even Let's Go and the other game, it's gonna be like really great to complete your Pokédex and just focus like, oh, I only need the ones from this generation, or I don't need that many. So it's gonna be really, really good. And again, most people are really I'm really excited about that one. I hope that the service doesn't cost that much, because Pokemon Back is, I think it's like $5 a year.
Yeah.
So hopefully it doesn't go up in price that much, but it's still, it will be like a really great service, hopefully.
Yeah, and I'm really curious about kind of like the balancing there. I mean, it sounds like, you know, it's going like you're not like taking stuff and putting it in Pokemon Go or whatever, but it sounds like Gen 8 is going to kind of account for all that. And before I let you go, I'd actually like to ask your opinion, since we know we have a big Pokemon Direct next week focusing on Gen 8. I'm just kind of curious, like, what are your hopes and dreams for the Pokemon Direct this coming week?
My hopes and dreams. I have some really big hopes and dreams for this, but mostly I just want the release date and maybe to see some of the new Pokemon on this new game, Sword and Shield.
I'm pretty sure you'll get both of those things.
Just more info.
Yeah
sorry.
That's fine. I was going to say, there's probably a lot of things that we just haven't thought about yet, but the Pokemon games tend to have a lot of, you know, sub games within them. So I'm sure we're going to learn about a lot of that in the Pokemon Direct this week. So.
And before I go, I want to also mention the last thing that they mentioned on the Pokemon conference.
Oh, right.
That Pokemon Masters game. If anyone that knows like those type of games, the gacha games like Fire Emblem Heroes, Dragalia Lost, and other many, many games of the type, if it works correctly, if it's at least decent, this game will explode like you have no idea. Because if people like are eating stuff like Fire Emblem Heroes, and Fire Emblem Heroes is like, Fire Emblem isn't that big yet. It's still kind of a niche franchise,
mm-hmm.
here in America. Pokemon is going to blow that up. It's like, wow. I'm really, really excited about that. But at the same time, I'm really worried.
I can see that. It's always scary territory, especially when, you know, things are like things that are kind of underground are starting to boop all of a sudden blow up. But I think it'll be fine.
Hopefully.
All right, my friend, I'm gonna let you go so we can squeeze in one more call. But thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Anytime. Take care, buddy. All right, let's try to squeeze in one more call because I saw one other person join the green room and I want to get them on. So hello, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Oh, Huggy!
Hello, this sounds like First Mate Slagkick from Game Buoy, am I correct?
Yes, and the library is open. Oh, wait, that's the wrong show.
Yeah, wrong show.
We just
show.
Have so many podcasts, I can't keep track of them. Hey!
Well, now look, since we got emails tonight, we're not allowed to recap the finale of Drag Race, although, you know, the right person won.
Yes, she did.
But anyway, what's on your mind in the gaming world tonight?
So I've been lately devouring all of the news from the Shadowbringers media tour. I feel like every time I call in lately, it's about Final Fantasy XIV's prize. I don't know if you've been following lately, but you know, they talked about a lot of the changes to like the battle system that they've kind of been teasing. They had the live letter that had all those memes about you know, the sound issues and stuff, and then they had the media tour. So. You know, a lot of people are comparing the changes to some of the changes we saw in WoW. You know, I don't remember what expansion it was, but one of the things is, like, the tanks are basically just having a tank stance for, you know, generating aggro. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you know, a lot of the, like, enmity rotations are gone. Healing, like, they took away a lot of the emphasis on DPS. And
yep.
I've seen a lot of people, like, upset about it and feeling like the game's being dumbed down, and then especially they have like the charged actions, which, you know, we've seen those in WoW too, so a lot of people feeling like it's just, you know, turning into more and more of a WoW clone. I'm curious what are your thoughts about it?
I think people should give it a chance. We haven't seen how these end game raids look like. I think anytime you got the expansion that goes in there and rebalances things, people get freaked out. I mean, why is WoW Classic a thing? You know, because due to all the innovations WoW has made, people say, oh, but I miss the days when it was complicated and you had to be level 40 to get a mount and there was weapon skill. And now that like Blizzard is putting out exactly that, people are complaining about, well, these are bugs, you know.
It's a feature, not a bug.
I think people should like just feel it out and give it a chance a little bit. I think especially when it comes to things like, you know, just making sure that all tank moves get threat instead of having to do these basic combos and things like that. Like the, those sorts of things make sense to me, and that maybe healers
right.
should be DPSing so much. Those sort of things make sense. And a lot of the moves they have been showing, like the Death Knights getting clones and the Astrologians having more Zodiac influence things and stuff. Like a lot of it looks really cool and I'm here for it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, just as MMOs evolve and update and want to innovate every few years, you know, these are things that are going to change. I'm fortunate enough that I know a couple of people that got to go to the media tour, and everyone that has had their hands on it that I've talked to had positive things to say about it. So I'm looking forward to it as well. I was a little salty about Final Fantasy XIV when they didn't do the boy bunnies, but I've had enough time mm-hmm. to... you know, get the fuck over it, I suppose. Maybe next expansion. And I'm excited for the different job stuff. And I think, you know, a lot of the stuff that isn't getting a lot of focus, I think is going to be a big deal for some people I know, such as the whole trust thing. And the fact that you can just go through these new dungeons. I don't think they work in the old dungeons, but you can go through the new story for Shadowbringers. You can use these trusts to run the dungeons with you, and you don't have to interact with other people. So if you're nervous about tanking or healing or something that, you know, there's one of you and not a lot of room to screw up, if you're nervous about that and you don't want to do that with other people because you're afraid you're going to, you know, screw up other people's experiences, you can do it yourself with trust now. And I think that's a huge thing for people. So I think there are a lot of great things that they're doing. It sounds like there's still more to come because they aren't talking about PvP at all. Have you noticed that? And I think they said they're just going to sit on that until 5.1 and let everybody experience the PvE for a couple months and then get into PvP stuff, because Square's not going to let that go for Final Fantasy XIV yet. They still would like to see that a thing. And actually, if you do get in there and do the PvP, it's really well done. It's really
I've never done PvP, and but I've heard that it's not too inaccessible. That, you know, it's that's pretty fun.
Well, what's interesting, it dumbs down the rotations. You have way less buttons that you use in PvP. And the matches are neat. Like, I really like doing the Wolf's Den because, like, you know, when you eliminate somebody, a big thing comes up on the board and it says, Lil Pound Cake has eliminated such and such, and the medals go over. It's just the presentation and the pop and circumstance is really well done, which you'd expect out of a modern Final Fantasy title, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of the changes seem like really good quality of life changes, and I think once people get their hands on it, they'll be like, okay, I don't know what I was complaining about.
In my opinion, too, where the bar is set with Final Fantasy XIV in the expansion is the story, and we don't talk about this enough. Like, Realm Reborn's story was okay. It was good. It was passable because, you know, they had a lot they had to do with that game to reinvent what was a shit game. The 1.0 Final Fantasy XIV. But when we got into the expansions, Heavensward and Stormblood, like, those stories are, like, some of the best, if not maybe the best, in the entire franchise. Not everybody
Agreed.
Was a fan of Stormblood's story. Like, I thought, especially...
I loved it.
From 4.0 to 4.1. Oh, my God. Like, I was shook at the ending to Stormblood and what they did with that. I was like, not the 4.5 ending, but, like... I don't want to spoil it, but there's definitely like a cinematic sequence that happens at the end when everybody comes together. And I was just like, holy shit, I was not expecting that, but that was powerful. You know,
yeah,
you probably know
seriously.
What I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So before I let you wrap things up, knowing that you got your start with DDR and Bimani and everything, are you like totally thrilled that there's almost a rhythm game element to playing Dancer with all the little steps and stuff?
It reminds me of that Suzaku fight where you have the little arrows you have to kind of turn around. Yeah, I think it's cute. I think it's cute that they have a little bit of the rhythm game influence in there with the Dancer. I don't know if you know this, but it's kind of like ninjas with the...
Is it easy to Dancer?
It's... I see what you did there. Uh-huh. But yeah, you hit these little notes or you hit these little keys in time with something and it does the actions. It's funny. I'm totally going to play Dancer, but not at first.
But is it Dancer, mm-hmm. Dancer, Dancer?
Everybody's going to play Dancer at first, and I'm going to focus on my healer.
I'm not.
And then get into you know, actually what I really want to play is Machinist, because
yes.
totally changed Machinist. So now
come
Machinist,
on, Automaton Queen.
Yeah, Final Fantasy XIV's Machinist is now like Edgar in Final Fantasy VI.
So yeah.
And they even showed the poison. The was like is a move. that you can do. And I was like, dang, this is cool. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, and myself as the only Final Fantasy VIII fanboy in the world, basically, I'm totally here for Gunbreaker. It looks super fun, and I can't wait. So I'll see you in game.
Yeah, I can't believe the expansion is the end of this month. It's sooner rather than later. It's just really exciting. So, all right, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up, but everybody should be listening to GameBuoy.org, video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org, video game podcast. Thanks for letting me call in.
You're welcome. Anytime, BB. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right. First Mate Sidekick from GameBuoy.org. So I think with that, we will close up our Discord calls for tonight, and we're going to move on to wrapping up the show tonight. I want to thank everybody for being here throughout the show. Despite the technical difficulties for the podcast listeners, you didn't really have to sit through much because we'll stitch it together. But for your Twitch folks, it was a little bit of a hot mess there. Sorry about that. Lesson learned. I'm going to move that button off of my Switch deck because I never use it anyway. I click on and off on the screen.
I'm putting my foot back on here because someone was excited to see it.
Maybe
I don't know.
It might be creepy. They might have a foot fetish. Right, anyway, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening, whether it was the podcast or live. We really appreciate you being here. We'll be back to do it again in 7 days. We'll be right in the midst of E3. It's going to be an exciting time. I'm really excited to hear what is Microsoft's plan for the future. It's we're really going to get a sense of what their direction is. I'm really excited to hear it.
And we're not going to ship bricks. We're going to ship rainbows because it's also Pride.
Yes, it is Pride here in Sacramento. Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride.
I didn't go to the extent.
It's spelled June, but it's pronounced Pride.
I didn't go to the extent to make a rainbow background or anything like that because, like, if y'all put up with my rainbow ass for 17 years, I'm, you know.
But remember, fight bi erasure, fight pan erasure, fight ace erasure.
Yes. Rainbow means variety, means more than one thing, means.
There are more than six colors in that rainbow.
All right. Anyway. But happy Pride Month nonetheless to everybody. That's it. I think we're gonna wrap up, go around and get everybody's final thoughts.
You have a Donkey Kong hat.
And wrap up for the night. You didn't even notice. Look at the bottom of that.
What?
It has a little, I don't know if that comes through on Twitch very well. I'll get up towards the cam while you're doing your final thought, but it actually has like the railings and all that stuff
underneath.
Girl,
I need one.
Yeah, let me show you. Why don't you do your final thought and then Loki does his and I'll show the Twitch
I
listeners.
Can't do a final thought because my head is too hurty. Like, because I've had like the sickness of the con crud. And the allerginous. Yeah, you can kind of see it on their
lap. Yeah, barely.
It's enough.
Extreme close up.
But I have the pain of the centuries in my head because my head is a nightmare of snot and tiny jackhammers.
All right. We'll feel better. I'm right there with you, suffering with the Chicago plague or whatever. I think there's just cold going around everywhere, so.
Yeah,
it's too bad.
But you know how to, well, not just con crud, but being around Disneyland.
Sure. So. And me on an airplane, so similar.
But man, if you've never done solo Disney, fucking do it.
Let's see. My final thought for the night is I was very, very busy all of the weekends and during the week and stuff leading up to my Chicago trip just by coincidence. And now I feel like I don't have as busy of a social calendar, and I think that's a good thing. I'm going to take some time. I'm going to take some me time and maybe go. I'm going to take some inspiration from your solo Disney trip, and maybe I'm going to go on a solo road trip and go hiking or something. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
You know what would be fun, though?
Hmm.
Mani-pedis.
That would also be a lot of fun.
Yes, it would be.
Anyway, Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is that I'm going to try to stream some more DDR this week. I haven't been streaming every day that I play because sometimes I just also want to just get 30 minutes in and then actually do weightlifting. This week, though, I did weightlifting after not doing weightlifting for a very long time, and I fucked up my arms for like the entire week. So they're unfucked now, so I get to do it all over again.
Watch your form. Just watch your form.
I need to get back in the gym habit very bad. I fell off that wagon, you know, with everything going on, and then I'm sick. I haven't been able to go since I got back from Chicago, so I'm really trying to get back on that horse.
I got told not to weightlift. I got the okay to go back into powerlifting because, you know, I was powerlifting before I hurt my back. Mm-hmm. I got up to like a deadlift of 200. And then with the problems with my neck, I got told to hold off on my powerlifting until my neck is dealt with.
Oh, wow. All
so right. I'm very upset by this because I like being able to deadlift 200 pounds and watch guys like lose their shit.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll be cleared to do it again in the future. Anyway, yeah. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We'll be back in 7 days to do this during E3, so it's the exciting time of year. So we'll hope you join us then. But until then, we're going to fade to black for tonight. Thank you for being here tonight. See you next week, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.